Well, first of all, for everybody who's here, thanks for coming in.
Board time, July 24th.
This is our board time, which, while it is a public meeting, we don't take public comment or public testimony. This is our ability, this is our opportunity to talk with each other about what we're working on and for staff to talk with us about what we're working on. It's basically, it's just a staff meeting. So, while we're glad you're here, we'd ask that you respect, you know, kind of our conversation, and if there's anything that you'd like to comment to us on after the meeting or at our next public hearing or email or phone, we'd love it. So, but appreciate you being here, and now we lost Bill. After all that, he's like, oh yeah, well, we have everybody we need, and then Bill left. So, that's super. Good work. Hey, you're back.
Hi.
Yeah, good. All right, so the first issue is the marketing piece to promote fee waiver, and specifically to promote business friendly. Because it was broader than that. Holly, where are we at?
It's in progress.
Do we have drafts, or?
Jane will be gone these 3 days, so mm-hmm. she and I will put our visual minds together tomorrow when she gets back. It's being designed to catch attention of fairgoers, to easily end up being taken home instead of thrown on the ground as trash, or not read.
Okay.
And a brief message and contact information and the appropriate words. We're getting there.
Is there a possibility we might see a draft when they come out?
When we have one to show you, I'd be happy to.
I don't want to wait until the next meeting. I'm not sure when that is. So.
I can bring it. If we have it done for Monday, I can bring it.
If we have
just,
it done
yeah,
for Monday.
Take it in the rounds as far as the one-on-ones. Just take it to
everybody, whatever. I'm going by so fast. I'm roasty already.
Yeah, it's amazing. But yeah, that way we'll at least have that, and so we can take a look at it when Bill comes around. As far as getting the draft together or the marketing piece.
So we don't have anything yet?
No.
Not even a draft of a draft?
No, because like Holly, and she just explained this to us, that and she had told us that Jane was out for a few days, and so they'll be working on it, and then they should have something by Monday is when. Is that right?
I would hope to have something by Monday. Yeah.
And the goal is still to have volume copies for in time for the fair, right?
Yes, and actually I checked with John Morrison, and the county has about 8 displays at the fair, and his suggestion, instead of having somebody stand there, is to put them at all those 8 different locations so people can just grab one and put it in their pocket.
Great.
Thank you, Holly. Larry, you are here, and while you're, I mean, we don't want to take too much of your time, and I'm not sure what you're here for.
I'm here just in the event that commissioners have any questions in regard to access to the city's, county's facilities for internet use, information that's posted, CRC type issues. You had mentioned that might be coming up for discussion, but maybe not today.
Gotcha.
You're not worried today.
Yeah, she's making copies. She's on her way.
Oh.
So the question was, I'd asked for legal advice associated with information posted on our website, but that was related specifically to CRC, which seems moot at this point. But yeah, I don't know. I mean, are we still? Do we still need to have CRC information up on our website?
Yes. Yeah. I think so.
I don't think we need to have any changes for a while.
Well, if we're going to have CRC information up on our website, then we do need the legal opinion, because that was what I had asked for with regards to whether it was appropriate to have a link to a website of an organization promoting political candidates. So, do you have an answer to that question?
I do.
Well, it wasn't a direct link, was it? It was
right. I
it was linked,
wrote linked it link. Out, and I sent it directly to them, and they researched it. So
okay.
He has an answer.
Since 1972, Washington has had one of the strictest laws in the nation on how you use public facilities, public funds. You're absolutely prohibited from using facilities or funds in any way that might promote lobbying. You simply can't do that. We've always had that statute. It's black and white. So when you look at our internet site, and it has in there a link to arguments about how you can lobby the legislature, that would clearly run afoul of that part of the statute that says do not do lobbying using county facilities. And the reason for that is good. It's like you know, I can't go use the county car to do a campaign, no matter how good the campaign is, right?
Which car did you use?
It's the same with facilities. So 90% of what's on our site is fine. It's just that part that encourages people to contact the legislature and lobby and take action. The statute is construed in a way that it's so broad that it's a black and white answer today. We can't do that.
No. So the link can't be there? Is that what you're saying?
The link should be removed.
What I would suggest is instead that information that's no longer current anyway, we give them an opportunity to remove that because there is no more need for them to lobby because that battle has been passed. So that would be the first recourse.
Well, first of all, it's obviously not in compliance. So the first thing we have to do is get it off and then give them the chance to change it. And then if it was changed, you could put it back on. Because as long as it stays on there, it's a violation.
It's a violation.
Is what we're hearing. So
we should remove it.
Yeah.
Anyway.
And then give them the opportunity to change
update
what they do or what they're putting out there.
Okay.
So we've had it up there for a long time, wrongfully.
Yeah.
Honestly.
And you look to see that content that you're speaking of is specifically on there, that lobbies?
It was the last time I looked, and I don't know if it's up there today.
And okay. What about them actually promoting political candidates? The organization candidates, is it the same rule?
The same rule.
Okay. So this is not, we cannot be linking to an organization that promotes political candidates?
We should not be doing that in any shape or form, period.
Okay.
The assumption, we have to be careful that we don't get up into censorship here, because you're assuming that that site is a lobbying site, that it's a campaign site, and I would say I don't see any print on it. We should print out and say this content right here, that does. I haven't seen it.
I sent the materials that I received directly to the prosecuting attorney's office as we discussed. And then
that was
on the
email.
Website. Right, the materials. The email was the materials. And I sent the webmail address. And that is the advice we are getting from our attorney. And as far as censorship goes, nobody's censoring anybody's freedom of speech. They are allowed to... I mean, nobody's censoring what they say. It's simply, should we be using public resources to promote them? That's the issue at hand.
What I'm saying is that what we don't want to do is extend an email to imply that there's content on a website. Show me the website that has the content. That would be, now you've got something specific that's objective. Right now it's hearsay.
So you can't link to an organization that makes political endorsements. So even if the Sierra Club didn't actually have their endorsements on their website, but they make political endorsements, then can we link to them?
Well, I think that's where we're having trouble. If it's not on that link, then it's not promoting a candidate. So for example, the Sierra Club could be there, but in that website that is linked to ours, it cannot promote.
I think we need to draw a black and white line because the statute is so clear. And in addition, I've talked to the PDC, the authorities on this subject. I've looked at this very closely. Any indirect or direct use of public facilities is a violation of the statute, period. We should not have any links to advocacy or lobbying of any kind. It's just that clear.
See, I was kind of concerned about that because CRC project is on our website and they promote the project. And so what you're saying is that we can't have that one either. I thought it was more like a public information.
That site, Commissioner, is just purely a public entity describing its activities. The link that we're talking about asks people to lobby the legislature against the project.
Yeah.
That's what we're discussing.
So that part of it cannot be included.
Not correct.
But we can't ban the group, whoever it is, from providing information. They can't promote. See, we have CRC promoting something, And we're saying, well, because it's a branch of government entity, it's okay.
No, they're not promoting political campaigns, though. No,
they're not trying to influence the legislature.
Well, so I'm just saying,
difference.
So the other organization, Joe Schmuck, is on there sharing information, but he's not promoting a candidate. Can he be on there?
No, they're completely different. The situation on the internet right now, as I have seen it, is asking citizens to lobby the legislature. That's the only thing that's before you today. That's a violation. If you want me to look at something else, I'll do that.
Yeah.
But we need to stay with the black and the white.
I would say before we take anything off, that we should have, we should actually, I mean, it would have been good had we brought a copy of that that says, see, this content right here is lobbying.
Did you review it?
Right here.
Did you review the website?
Of course.
Okay.
Several times.
Okay. This is our attorney who reviewed the materials on the website and is saying that there's a clear violation.
It's not just me. I spoke with the PDC staff since 1972. They're the experts in Olympia on this. We spoke three times. And, I mean, there's no question. Even an indirect link is a violation of the statute.
You know, the absurdity of this is that what this, in effect, does is it gives a monopoly to a publicly funded entity to promote something at taxpayer expense and silences any opposition.
You get the irony that we just got done talking about marketing, creating marketing materials for commissioner action.
Different subject. We're talking
it's
about
the
CRC.
Same, it's the same issue. You're talking about marketing something and, I mean, it's...
We're talking about a particular website.
You're not going to see the irony in it. That's cool.
In a particular project, in a particular... So that is to stay focused.
Oh, I'm laser focused. And our attorney just gave us a directive. Are we going to follow the attorney's directive or are we going to be in violation?
Be careful you don't put words in his mouth. Certainly.
He said it's a violation to have the link.
Depends on what he's saying is a violation.
He's right here.
Yeah, I know.
You're not asking.
I know. But it would be better to let him speak rather than for you to interpret what he's saying.
I'm not interpreting. I used his exact words. We can play him back. Do you have different words? I'm sorry, Larry. I don't want to speak for you.
That we're discussing that requests citizens to belong to the legislature. That's a clear violation of the statute. That's not my opinion. That's the opinion of anyone who will have looked at this in the entire state.
And certainly we must comply.
Absolutely.
And we have to absolutely follow whatever the law says. That's not a question. Let me ask you, if the content that we're speaking of is dated and old and they remove it, would we still allow them to have a voice in a way that provides an alternative to the government voice?
And the reason I don't think I can answer that, it would depend on what it is they're advocating. If they're trying to advocate lobbying the legislature, which is what they've been doing, that's a clear violation.
Right.
But
so
maybe they're in a more factual posture. We could at least look at that, Commissioner.
Right. Okay. So what I would assume is that we would only remove them if they, as long as they violate what is clear, and if they remove what would be in violation, then we would welcome a citizen voice to speak another side of the issue. Is that right?
I'd have to look at exactly what you mean by the other side, because it could be it's advocacy of a kind that is, you know, again, in conflict here. I just would not be able to answer that without seeing that language.
Okay, then the safe thing for us to do is ensure that we comply with the law. So the obvious thing is for us to remove the link, and then we would work with you to ensure that the content would be appropriate. And if that be the case, we can add that link back on. I just don't feel it's appropriate for us to provide a monopoly, a single voice for one side of an issue without welcoming a contrast voice of the citizens.
I look forward to you continuing that logic on other issues. But for this issue, it sounds like we're unanimous on it, right? So we're unanimous on that?
Yes.
Cool. All right, good. Did you have anything else, Larry?
I just wanted to make sure, Commissioners, that you met our wonderful summer intern from University of Oregon Law School, Ms. Lauren Boyd, who's joining us today.
Hi.
She's having a great time this summer.
And we have fun, too. Lots of entertainment here.
All right. and always happy to welcome
nice to
a fellow duck. So it's all good. Don't you give me that. Sir, I went to Vermont. Yeah, Gibby.
I think we've located the problem.
Yeah, exactly. All right. Did we have anything else? Lauren, thank you for being here and spending your summer with us up here. And Lara, thank you very much. Okay, on to advisory ballot measures, follow-up with Lori. And Lori, you can either move up the table or we can do this, and so you can...
Lori here. Perfect. Does that work?
All right, yes.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you,
Eric. Update.
All right. First issue, not sure if you've had a chance to even busy RB this morning. Given that the timelines have changed since our last board time. And what that means is that you now have two additional opportunities to present, discuss resolutions before the notice provisions that will be required since. Under special meetings, it's 24 hours instead of a 10-day notice. So that question was raised, and that's the answer to that. I sent an email that outlines those timelines, so you have it.
Yes.
We all signed that. Yeah.
Great. First one, I have looked at the last three proposed resolutions. Axel and I got together to talk about creating staff reports and insert some more factual language as opposed to what could be purported to be, you know, one-sided language. And Commissioner Mador and I met today to go over some of that. And as he pointed out, you know, some of this is intentionally one-sided on his part in the front end of the because sections, because that is not part of the action of the resolution. So I think these are a more fact-based set of becauses. We're using because instead of whereas. But there's really not a rule that a resolution be neutral in that section, and so it needs to be before the board in terms of the how you want the language in the resolution to be. The first one is the easy one, I think, which is the East County Columbia River resolution. So these are the red lines from the last version you've seen.
Okay, and so this is the first time we've seen this, so we have till when to be able to, I mean, we're scheduled to have an August 5th special public hearing on all of these, correct? Okay. So as far as the language goes, my preference would be not to go through and try to wordsmith every word in these, but especially since it's the first time we've seen them, but just take them, have a chance to read through them, and then start, you know, if there's any feedback on it, then we can address it next week because we have time, and so that we have a final document to take in for each one of these to take into the hearing. Does that make sense?
Well, we handed them out last week, and that's why we used the red line version of this. So you can see the contrast between this and last, and what's different between them and last. And the plan of where we left it is that this meeting we would offer feedback, and each one of us had the opportunity to provide suggestions, changes that we would recommend so that we make this meeting as productive as possible. What I would not like to do is to somehow get to the end of things and we're up against the deadline of the clock and we begin our conversations on this and somehow it takes too long or somehow we miss our opportunity.
So totally agree. But we all knew all along though that we had two board times to be able to work out the details associated with this before the hearing. And so I can only speak for myself that I've been relatively ridiculously busy and have not had a chance to wordsmith all of these. And especially with changes, significant changes to a few of them, I'm just not going to have the ability to reasonably go through and say what language should be this week.
Yeah, just know that we have these board times as opportunities for you to participate, and I understand that we've all been busy, so I respect that.
So your opportunities are today and the public hearing on July 30th in terms of...
Or board time next week. As far as language.
That's correct.
Right.
That's right. I'm looking at the notice. That's right. You do have board time next week.
Yes.
That's incorrected. I will. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I prefer not to put off any longer. What we have before us is the same thing that we had last week. Kind of what we did the other day on wineries. sort of brought back, and we make these steps along the way by updating our verbiage, by crossing out and underlining the new section that we'd already talked about, mm-hmm. and so now it's before us in what we had talked about.
So you want to go through? So kind of go through them at least preliminarily.
Yeah. And so what I'm, I have a question. So
this one's easy. And
we're going to replace the whereases with a which.
Yeah, and that is Axel. I think rightfully brought up the fact that the way it was worded seemed to indicate that this whole list of where things was a list of conditions, where really the way it was worded, it was intended to mean, do you want us to explore a proposal which meets all of these criteria? So it's just the where is taken out and replaced with a which.
In each of these short paragraphs.
For every single one.
And okay. The reason that we're trying to be citizen friendly with the language and avoid as much legalese mm-hmm. as we can is because this is meant for the citizens out there who aren't attorneys. This is meant to be so that it makes sense to them as much as we can convey.
The only other change is in that first section. I removed the consumed verbiage and just said spent because that was a number that was spent.
And
instead of the language was abandoned for lack of support, I used the language off the CRC website, which says it was mm-hmm. closed down as directed by the governor. So I just felt that was a more factually based statement, and that's the proposed change, first proposed change on that document.
I'm prepared to adopt it.
In other words, to move it to the hearing next week.
I'm prepared to put it on the agenda next week.
So it's already, all of these are already on an agenda, right? I mean, the 5th is when these are all going to be on our agenda.
Well, we could put them on next week. Is that correct?
The issue would be to adopt the version that's going to be presented in public hearing.
And it could
be adopted with red lines to show changes, and then you would, if you want to show the public the changes.
I'm talking about the public hearing.
So we at the time, we thought we had to give 10-day notice, found out we didn't need that 10-day notice. So rather than have more confusion by moving it up to the 5th, we go ahead and address it next Tuesday on consent agenda.
So are we going to address
it? You can't do it on consent agenda. You've got to have a hearing,
no. On consent agenda? You're not going to give people a chance to speak to it other than just on consent? You're not going to do a public hearing?
Sure.
Well, I think what you mean to say is instead is that we'll bring it forth on the hearing agenda or next week, not on consent, but because we want to invite people to participate in this.
Okay.
So RCW 36-32-120 subsection 7 requires a public hearing with testimony and input. So for that reason, I think you can't do it on consent agenda.
Okay.
So what about the date? They're looking at potentially trying to do it next Tuesday.
So
give 24-hour notice. There's a 3-day window for the paper, so it's probably tonight we'd have to notice it for next
Tuesday. And if they let us put it on. So Columbian has to be called and find out, because we can't always just do it.
Right. Mm. The deadline would have been noon today for Friday. But that's if you're going to have a special meeting. And if you do it Tuesday, it's on your regular meeting, so the 10-day rule applies.
So it's the reverse of what you would think.
Right. Yes, it is the reverse of what you would think.
So the bottom line, do we have the freedom to put this on for Tuesday?
If you could,
it's already been noticed. Notice. So yes,
for coming Tuesday.
The topic has been noticed, which is what the notice requirements are related to the topic, which
so
we've done.
We could discuss that next Tuesday.
Was it noticed for the 5th specifically?
Yes.
It was noticed for the 5th, though. It wasn't noticed for next Tuesday.
Correct.
So if you wanted to change the date of the notice,
you cannot change it to Tuesday. The timeline has passed.
That's what they're asking.
The notice has been put out that we're going to take action on.
On the 5th.
Monday.
The 5th.
Monday the 5th, yes.
So we can't discuss it next Tuesday?
You can't take action.
You can discuss at board time next Tuesday the specifics of the resolution.
Well, I wasn't thinking about board time. I was thinking about discuss it during our hearing.
Yes.
As an item to be
put on the phone. Otherwise, can we add this to the agenda for the Tuesday meeting?
Well, there's a difference. It's not on the agenda. It would be a hearing with no action.
Can you add it to the hearing agenda?
Now we have a meeting.
We have hearings that are not part of the consent agenda.
Again, I think you have 10 days notice requirement on that.
Lori.
Yeah, I don't know the statute by heart. I mean, I have to look it up.
There's three ways that the board puts things on the agenda: by consent, a public meeting, or a public hearing. The middle one, public meeting, doesn't require any notice other than you telling me to put it on the agenda.
Because
it's only for discussion, usually.
Okay.
So no public input?
Correct.
Well,
you can, yes. The board can do whatever it wants.
Yeah, because the more opportunity we give the public to speak to this, the better. Especially if it's a special meeting when it's to be discussed, it's more the most likely to be more public participation if it's at the regular meeting. So, in other words, if we don't, it's not a public hearing. We don't have the freedom to actually have a public hearing on this next Tuesday, right?
You can have public meeting on it. You just can't take board action on it without attending notice. So,
and
yes.
So, hearing versus public meeting. It's not called a public hearing?
Correct.
Ultimately, we have to go to public hearing when we take action.
I understand, but if you can let Larry answer.
Action's the issue. He's right. Action's the issue.
Yeah, sometimes I actually have right answers to questions. That's why I answer them.
Well,
you should listen to the guy that's been here for a while.
But
sometimes.
When I direct the question to our attorney, it'd be good
you're
to let
just
our
talking
attorney
out loud,
answer.
Man. That's all right.
That's
so
correct.
The question is the difference between a public meeting and a public hearing. Which way? So this for Tuesday would not be a public hearing, even though we want to hear from the public on Tuesday.
You may hear from the public.
The chair can choose to have people. No. I answer this because I'm the chair. At a public meeting, I have the authority, I have the latitude to say, even though it is a public meeting, which is not necessary to take public testimony, we would love to hear from you, so we're going to open it up for testimony. So we have that freedom. I have that freedom as the guy running the meeting to be able to do that, and I'm happy to do that as far as opening up the public meeting for public testimony.
And the question is, what do we call it? It's not a public hearing.
Public meeting.
Right.
So I'll just say this is one of those areas where I, as a lawyer, would have to go look it up, and as a practical matter, Bill and Steve know the rules more because they've been doing it.
It's not a matter of law. It's a matter of procedure.
Yeah.
Okay. So
it's in your rules.
Then it would be we're all on the same page that Tuesday, this coming Tuesday, we would put this on the agenda and for an agenda item and invite the public to participate, so we want to hear from them at that time. And we don't plan to vote on it at that time. We don't have the freedom to vote on it.
Exactly. And so long as you understand that at the next one, on the 5th, where it was duly noticed, it's a public hearing, so we have to take public testimony on that. So you are off. What we would then be doing is we'd be setting up two public comment periods for these, which is fine. It's just we can't come out of that public meeting and say, hey, we're good. You know, we've heard from everybody. I think we have what we want, and then go into that public hearing and say, yeah, we already heard from you, so we're just going to take action.
Of course, we can't do that. Yeah, well, the idea is not to exclude the public. The idea is provide public input, but it sounds like we can't even make amendments on that on this next week.
You can make amendments on the specifics of the resolution in the actual hearing.
Yeah.
The final hearing.
When I mean next week.
In the meeting. In.
Yes.
So we can. The only thing we cannot do is actually pass it finally, but we can make amendments in the public process next Tuesday.
Yes.
So long as it's within the scope of the notice. Right.
Right. Mm-hmm. Which we worded in a way that I think all these amendments are.
Can you list this on the paper? Is it listed above the consent items or
separate? It's a separate agenda item. It's just set up as a public meeting.
All right. Then let's go ahead and put this on there because it gives two opportunities to hear from the public. And what being that the public hasn't seen this, to keep it simple, I would say that at this point we would. The red lines are only have been for our purpose, and if we're good with the way it stands as amended, as we've modified it, then we'll just simply accept those changes, and that would be the version that we present next week.
Yes,
for us to be able to amend and hear from the public. Okay.
Okay.
Great. So that's the first.
When you say this, you're referencing only the East County.
Well, I'm just taking that one at a time.
Okay.
So that one's done.
Next.
And you're going to vote on the specifics at the next board meeting?
No, we're not voting on anything
until the 5th, by law.
We're voting on amendments next week. on Tuesday.
So I guess what I'm saying is no one member would have the right to make amendments and proposals. You guys have to ultimately adopt a resolution to put before, right? Adopt a resolution form. Is it better if I say it that way?
I don't know.
Form of resolution?
In other words...
we're parsing words, but that is what we're talking about.
In other words, what we do is we make this a more of a formal process, and any changes from that we're going to make after today will be in that public process at the
public hearing,
about public meeting next week, and then public hearing on the 5th.
Great. Okay. So like we did the fee waiver, we're going to freeze these today. Yeah. Only amendment mm-hmm.
after we accept the changes that are already proposed.
Yeah, we'll remove the, she'll remove the color, and that's what it should look like.
Accept them.
Okay.
Okay, this one is the light rail advisory vote resolution. You want to speak to this one as well, Lori?
Similar changes in trying to add in numbers and or factual language. These are, again, not legal changes per se. So these are all subject to board conversation.
Mm-hmm. What was the reason for striking the first one that you have here?
So
it's reworded.
I could have put the amendments in word by word, which to me is very confusing to try to read. So instead, it was more of a consolidation. Yeah.
But we do it. The legislation, we strike everything in the bill to keep the number.
Yeah.
Lori, do all these meet the tests of the board's jurisdiction to be able to put these advisory referendum on?
These are all worded in a way which references their ability to vote and make proposals on transportation boards only. That was one of the things we corrected at the last revision.
And because we're doing this in a two-step process, and we're doing it as an advisory, that informs us so that we can be faithful representatives of the citizen in these different capacities, this enables us to legally do this.
But as a non-home rule county, you have limited jurisdiction to do that. That's the point.
And that's why we're taking the two-step operation.
The attorneys
I recommend that we do the same thing.
You're moving to the third. Here's the second. Go ahead.
Yeah, I recommend we do the same thing with this one.
Are you good
for next week?
I haven't had a chance to look at it, but I will at the public meeting, so it's all good.
Yeah. Forget everything on the top
or before the public meeting.
All right, then we'll do the same thing, accept these like they are, and then present them in the same way. We'll just do the same thing with this one as we did the previous one.
Yes.
What I'm saying is the board put this on in final form in public meeting agenda for
7:30.
Okay. Good. What else we got?
And the final one is bus rapid transit that I have.
Can the board vote on a resolution without going to public hearings?
No.
Why would you want to?
Kind of remind me what the city did with their delegation on C-TRAN. They apparently took action to support light rail and the CRC project, and then when they come to C-TRAN, they did their block vote.
Mm-hmm. That's the city policy. That's set by their own policy.
I was thinking about that.
Well,
whether we could
remember, we're doing resolutions to get it on an advisory vote, so it's a little different.
Yeah. Okay. So I'm good to do the same thing with the third resolution as we did at the first two.
And as it comes back, we'll have it. We can come back with amendments if we see the desire.
This will essentially be attached to staff report as proposed resolution, and then red lines can be.
All right. Well,
and all advisory.
Okay. And there is a
There are two others that we've scoped, or that we've already sent out the legal notice for. One of them being for should we limit the fireworks, should we limit sale and use of fireworks, sale to 3 days, use to 1 day, 4th of July, which would match the City of Vancouver's guidance. We have that. The language I already had, but I don't know that we haven't put in an official, there's no resolution really with it, that because there's just an explanatory statement and ballot title is all I had for that.
Do you want to put that on discussion next week?
Happy to. Yeah, I mean, either way, it's not as complex, I mean.
Before we take, since we don't have a thing in writing on that.
Well, I gave you guys something last week.
Well, it was not really in the form of a resolution. It was it conveyed the intent.
No, it didn't. It actually was the official ballot title. The resolutions are a form of, it's a form that we are using to put something on the ballot that we don't have direct authority over. So we're using this form to kind of maneuver to be able to get something on the ballot. For this, we do have authority, so we don't actually have to take the additional step of passing a resolution. We can simply put it on an advisory vote because we have authority over it legally. So you don't have to do a resolution for it. That's the point.
We do over light rail too.
No, that was, remember, that was the maneuver that we had to make was that, we don't have a vote on.
We're not asking.
Exactly. We're asking their advice for, should we? That's why we had the resolution as an intermediary step. You don't need that for fireworks because we have authority over this. It's just a direct question.
I'm going to leave it up to you. You want to open it, put down the schedule for next week for discussion, or
tell
the
5th.
You wait till the 5th if you want.
We've noticed it for the 5th, and I don't have a copy of that in that.
I just got this copy that had all the red lines on it, it's very specific, but so that it's more specific than a lot of the other stuff, actually. But
did you say yes or no?
Let's come back around to it, if you wouldn't mind, please. Just give me a minute to kind of think about that. And then there was one other, and that I do not have language ready for, and that is. We sent out the notice as was authorized by the board to have an additional question about replacing the I-5 bridge. And I do not have resolution language because that would take resolution language, and I don't have resolution language today for you to take a look at.
You're welcome to come up with that whenever you want to.
I will definitely be working on that by later this week. I'll have it done.
So we can discuss it next week.
Yeah, that's fine.
In board time.
Same thing?
Yeah.
Well, at board time.
Not in hearing?
Because there's nothing tangible for us to bring to
when would we have to actually have
even to publish
something tangible to bring
for a public meeting.
We would have it at least 24 hours ahead of time.
Oh, you'd have it by the end of this week, but but I don't know if that means.
You could put it on public hearing just like the other.
Public meeting?
Yes.
Thank you. I know, I just
didn't. You could put it on public meeting. There's no board action required coming up with a resolution. You could have the resolution available for discussion, just like we're going to have the other resolutions ready for discussion.
Yeah, I can have the language done by the end of this week in draft. All of this is draft form, but have it in tight enough form so that everybody will have it, and the public can have it.
Sure.
Is that good?
I'm open.
Yeah, I am.
Okay, cool.
I have also one more, and that is we have a specific proposal for East County Bridge, but that's only one specific proposal. What I want to be able, what I think would be good for us to be able to do is to offer to an advisory vote that is more general, that says an additional crossing. Would you support us providing an additional bridge across the river and not specify where if it's East County, West County?
Because I was going to go west with mine.
Well, not the question.
Yeah, it leaves the door open for citizens to be able to. For us not to take the football and run it one particular direction.
The only question I would have with that is it creating voter confusion as to, like, if I vote for the one that says I like the East County solution, and I vote, then I vote for the one that says I think we should have another crossing somewhere else, and however you wanted to word that, which one do you believe? I mean, if it's advice to us, which one do we take? And if they say I want another crossing, how do I know where, I mean, if I guess I'm, it could create voter confusion because you've got two opportunities to say yes to an east side. You're never saying west side within that.
So you're being specific. I get what you're saying as far as pulling out a little bit and saying, okay, well, let's just ask the question of, should there be additional crossings?
Yeah, the logic is simple.
Right, but you're including a specific one, too, for the east side, so the logic gets more complex because you're creating two conflicting ballot measures for people to look at.
You're not going to do the one for 192nd. You're going to do one in place of the original 192nd that's broader. Is that what I understand?
No. What we've got here is a specific proposal at 192nd. But what we don't want to do is to say that's the only choice you have. So the logic is really quite simple. One, if let's suppose we say we would like it to be able to citizen support having a third bridge somewhere. Not to specify, just say we support a third bridge. And here's an opportunity for a specific example. Would you like one at 192nd? If they say no to both of them, they say, okay, forget it, bridge. Okay.
Well, the reason we recognize the difficulty of getting Oregon to agree with where a proposed one will be. And if we broaden it to an additional crossing, it could be farther east, it could be that, it could be west, but it would give some options to our partners on the south side that would block any idea that we would have. So if everybody says, yeah, I want 192nd, but Oregon says no, it's dead.
Mm-hmm.
But if you say an additional third bridge and leave it broad, then everybody will start looking for a third bridge location.
Well, that's where if we allow the opportunity for both. For instance, there are a number of people that have a lot invested in the idea of a common sense alternative, which is west, a third bridge, which is Sharon Assets Group, which is west, another group, which is more west, and those are three different ways that people are invested here. So what we don't want to do is exclude them from the opportunity. Certainly we want to be able to include a specific vision, but we also want to allow them to speak to the issue of whether or not you support anywhere. So in other words, a very general one that doesn't specify and a very specific one that says that allows them to have four possible choices. One, I don't want a bridge anywhere. I'm so burned out on the CRC that just forget it. Let's focus on something else. Two, I want a bridge somewhere, but it's not the 192nd. They'll inform us they want something west county. Three, I want another bridge, and I want it to be east county. I'm getting more support there. And that's really there's really only three choices. So that's mm-hmm. really.
But you can't cross-tab the votes. You can't tell, so if somebody votes, you can't tell what they voted for on different ballots, on different questions on their ballot. So somebody may say, I'm voting no on the third bridge on the east side, but I'm voting yes on a third bridge somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
They may not mean west side. They may mean something completely different.
Yeah.
They may believe in an east side, but they think, 192nd is too far west.
Mm-hmm.
We need something at Camas, at Lady Bird Island. We need something over there.
Mm-hmm.
But we won't know that.
Right.
You won't know anything about the specifics of west side.
Right. It's intended
no matter
to be
what.
General.
No. But you're getting something very specific on the east side. So why? So if you're making it equal or balanced, then you would have a specific question on the west side, a specific question on the east side, and or an overarching, hey, should there be a third bridge somewhere? But you're honing in on the answer you want to get if you just say, hey, do you want a 192nd bridge or a third bridge? And then you can take the third bridge concept and say, well, they mean something over here. They just didn't like my specific concept. Or they voted for the specific concept, too. This shouldn't be an angle to get the answer you want. This should be, let's ask something generally, and should we look at something like a third? Should we look at a different crossing? And I'll give a different spin on why it would be good to have a general question on that, and it goes back to what I said a while ago, which is first you got to figure out what the problem is you're trying to solve, right? And so if the question is, are you trying to solve freight mobility? Well, the two biggest ports are on the west side, so then you'd start thinking west side for that. Are you trying to solve the problem of growth and people, growing communities and people being able to move? Or are you trying to solve existing congestion? These are all different problems to solve. But if you have a specific answer, then you've already presupposed the question.
Aren't you doing that when you with your ballot measure to replace the five bridges?
Yeah, absolutely. Because if you're going to have a third, if you're going to have an east side, because you're going to have a specific east side. If you weren't going to have a specific east side conversation, then the I-5, should we replace the I-5 bridge, isn't as important. I mean, if you're just asking a general question, should we look at other bridges or bridges in other places? Then you have a natural contrast between should we replace what we have or should we look for new stuff. If you're saying a 192nd, then you really should it be 192nd? Should you replace or enhance what we have, or should we go west? And then you have the options.
Are you arguing that we shouldn't give them a choice for a 192nd Amity Bridge?
I'm arguing that either you give them a choice for 192nd and then you give them a choice for replacing the existing, and you give them a choice for west side. You give them three, or you ask a general question of should we instead of focus on all our energy on replacing a bridge, should we look for other crossings?
So let me ask the two of you.
And then you only have to ask one question.
If we ask the one generic question, you wouldn't put forth the resolution
exactly.
for replacing I-5, and you wouldn't put forward the resolution for 192nd.
That's what I would suggest would make sense from a voter's standpoint of making sure it's clear to them
that
they have clear choices and a full set of choices.
Yeah, and what that does, it lets the voters say, yes, I do support a third bridge.
Mm-hmm.
And then we can start from there.
Can you
project.
Do an advisory vote that
is not specified?
Is not yes, no, just like candidates?
No, you can't ask multiple questions on the same ballot.
So I think you have to...
So you just say,
do you support a third bridge? Do you support finding an avenue for a third bridge? I mean, I don't know what the exact language is, but there's a lot of people that do. You do know the language for that.
Nori's got it.
here's the if we're going to move forward with something that's tangible, imagine that. If we ask something that's so general, like, would you like to build a house somewhere in Clark County? Sounds like a good idea. Uh-huh. We end up with no specific preference. But if you...
It's Clark County.
Yeah. But if you say, here's a specific proposal. Here's a 5-acre lot. It's a lot.
Maybe they want 164th and not 192nd.
Well, and I think what you could say pretty simply that would be clear, that would be more specific, because I agree with you, is to say, instead of focusing efforts on replacing the existing bridges, we should discuss the feasibility of a third, a third or fourth crossing, something like that. I mean, because then you'd have clarity in, do you think we should just replace what we have, or do you think we should be looking for something new? That's specific.
No, I think it would be counterproductive for us not to provide a vision, both a specific and a general, to ask the citizens to be able to participate in that. Then
you got to have the west side, man. I mean, if you're going to have that, you got to have a balance for people to be able to choose from.
We're going to have three specifics.
Yeah, you got to have three specifics.
Let me just convey the 192nd, the East County Bridge has been on the 20-year C-TRAN plan for a long time. Mm-hmm. Okay, we've had a bridge East County on there for a long time.
Not on the 20-year plan. It's been on the long range, like the 40
the
or 50-year plans.
Okay, yeah. So it's been there.
For RTC.
We have a airport that says either we're going to be west of the 5 or we're going to be east of the 205. It's impossible to put anything in between, otherwise you end up going across and with a tunnel and then going to one of those existing corridors. So the idea is to build a highway somewhere that would be feasible and specific. In order for us to take the opportunity for us to move the football down the road, we can accomplish something. I'm committed to provide a specific choice. Can you envision this? Yet at the same time, I would love to have the opportunity for people to say, I have a different vision. and leave that opportunity on them without taking away the specific plan or proposal that they can potentially choose.
There is a specific vision for the West Side.
I have a specific vision.
There you go.
And for 30 years, they've been looking at a West Side all the way back to a Woodland crossing over, or Longview, which already happened. But they looked at Richland crossover, and then they looked at this other one.
Yeah.
So you go back and say, what do you want to achieve? I want to achieve freight mobility.
And that's West Side.
This freight mobility is additional dollars and three new partners in paying for it.
Well, the reason that I was, at this point, feeling like the West Side Bridge does make sense. We need a fourth bridge West Side.
That's the third bridge.
Exactly. See?
Yeah.
Here's the issue.
Yeah. We need a West Side Bridge. The problem is we don't have a corridor West Side.
Sure we do.
So
got the rail bridge.
No, I'm talking about a highway.
Oh, highway corridor. Well, that's the third bridge
now. We have a proposed bridge across the Willamette, and it ties together with the freight mobility going to the terminals, two terminals,
and
over to Highway 30, where most of the commercial freight goes.
Yep.
Well, here's the thing, is that if we want to accomplish the most bang for the buck, the simplest, most achievable, something we can all get behind, we have a long-term and a short-term. The question is, what can you do in the short-term that's going to be accomplishable? The West Side, it needs to have a highways to connect two bridges. They need to open. There needs to be a lift bridge or a bascule bridge where you can open it up. And the cost for that is substantially more than what you would have if you just simply have a 205 type bridge.
I disagree. We would have a high bridge and be a freight corridor. It would allow port to port freight and would allow for 30% of your commercial freight going to Terminal 6 and Terminal 2.
We need a fourth bridge. I'm with you on that.
He's using it as a fourth bridge. Hold on, guys, because you're going to argue this back and forth, and I'm just sitting here because I've heard all of this conversation which is third and which is fourth and East Side, West Side, and it's an interesting conversation, but ultimately what we're deciding is not which is the best concept. What we're deciding is what to put to the voters so that they can tell us what they think is third and fourth, or fourth and third, or whatever. And the question is that if you obviously believe that the 192nd is the third. Commissioner Mielke would disagree, and I think many people out there would disagree with you, depending on what question you're trying to solve. But who knows? The only way you find out is you're saying let's go to the voters and ask them. So if you're going to do specifics, there is a specific vision for the West. If you're going to have an East, you got to have a West.
I think what you'd like to be able to, instead of saying general, you'd like to be able to offer a West County version of the East. So let's say you want an East one, or you want a West one, or you want both. Allows them to pick.
You have to only ask one question.
Well, he's saying if we did specifics, so then if there was a specific 192nd, would you be offering
those? Are really the only choices?
West Side.
Then I would offer a specific West Side.
Oh, there's three choices. There's three choices because we're serious. We're hilarious. We're 1-1-1 on this, right? Because you're like the East Side, and he's West Side, and I'm replacing the one we got.
Somewhere in the middle.
No, I'm somewhere in the middle, exactly. And we can all we can sit here for hours making good points about why each one makes sense and is the most feasible and the most attainable. But only by asking will we figure out which one of the three of us is correct, according to the voters.
And we do that by bringing them to a hearing next week.
Exactly. Would you have some language that you think you can put together on West Side?
It would look just like his, except it would refer to
West Side. I literally am using his language and drawing from that, too.
I like the idea. And if you like, I can work with Lori to just simply translate this to the West Side
No. No, because then you're going to try to bias it, and he's got to put it together, man. That's his vision.
I'll use all the becauses. And then
exactly.
Then my paragraph will look different at the end.
He's got to pretty it up, man.
You have it.
I got it.
It's like, okay. We need to champion something here.
It'd be a good discussion because when it comes back before the people, even though you know, it could be down for discussion.
Yeah.
We'll get general concept from the people testifying. Yeah.
If you make it those three, I get much more interested in the analysis, like in the actual vote of it. I get much more interested in that because then people have a full set of, you know, a relatively full set of visions to say, yeah, I think this or this is the way that we should go.
Okay, so we each got a football, and we're going to say, hey, citizens, which way you want us to run with that football?
Exactly.
You want to replace the existing bridge?
Exactly. Well, really, there's only one football. They're just trying to figure out who's carrying it and running which way. But
the citizens play football.
Yeah, exactly.
You're talking about a sixth vote.
No. Yeah. Well, hold on. What do you mean a sixth vote?
You're talking about five now.
Oh, yeah. So that would be a sixth, would be the west side. Yes.
Okay.
I am concerned. Like I just saw Kathy Garber a couple days ago, and I was saying, so are you getting ready for election stuff? And she's like, yeah, I am. And
yeah,
she sounded like flustered.
Enough.
I'm like, what's going on? You okay? And she's like, this is going to be the biggest ballot we've ever done in November. And I was like, wait a minute, the biggest ballot you've ever done? She said, it's not just that you guys are doing advisory votes, but there's also freeholders, and the state has like five advisory votes that they're putting on it.
Yeah, good job.
So it's going to be a big ballot, and we've got to do everything we can to make it clear for voters, because there's going to be voter confusion and voter fatigue. When you get that big of a ballot, you're going to get, what we don't want is we don't want huge drop off where they say, look, I'm going to vote on two things and now I'm tired, and you put this huge thing in front of me, and I'm out. I'm done.
You know? Putting mine in the first two.
Yes. Can we throw a little change their way?
I'm going to go over and buy off the election box.
Yeah, seriously. But it's just, that's something we got to be aware of, is that we want to get the best return and the best input that we possibly can. And, man, there's going to be a lot of stuff on the ballot, so we got to make sure it's clear and clean and that we order it correctly. And so, like, the three choices are, like, right next to each other, and so that people, instead of on page 2, page 6, and page 10, or whatever, you know, we just got to make sure that we're doing everything.
So is it three questions, or is it one question?
It's three. It's got to be three.
So can I answer yes to all three?
Yes.
Yeah.
You can.
And what kind of guidance do you get then?
Yeah, I mean, isn't that the point?
Stop being so cynical. And if everybody says, because inevitably what will happen is, so say, you know, say we do get a bunch of people that say yes to everything. Not everybody's going to say yes to everything. There's going to be a lot of people that say, well, I don't think east, west, or replacement makes sense to look in. So, you know, there will be shades. There will be a difference in percentages. I guarantee it ain't going to be 100% for everything.
But with the voter fatigue thing in mind, why wouldn't you just say, which one do you
hold like candidates? You can't. Which
do you
support?
That's what I was bringing up earlier, and there's
east,
even a mechanism
west, or,
for it.
There's not a mechanism for it. You can't. That's asking multiple questions in the same initiative or referendum vote, and you can't do that.
They are very different in that the parameters or the goals are very different. If you're going to replace the five bridge, then you're solving a different problem.
Yes. Yeah.
You're tearing down a bridge to build a bridge in its place. So what's the point? If you're going to build a West County bridge, there's a different cost involved because you've got two bridges. You got a high span and a lift span that at least covers, that doesn't restrict the freight traffic along the Columbia River. So there's different costs and there's different priorities.
You have two short spans, you have one long.
Exactly. That also has to connect on either side, and you have to build those interchanges. So, yeah. Money. All right. We're on. All three of us are coming up with
a
language. No.
I have ownership of the first three, and the titles are, I'm happy with the titles on them.
Yeah,
and since this is your football game in the West, name it. It's your baby. Name it. It's your baby.
I-5 quarter. I got it. All right.
So Lori and I will work on the wording for the public meeting notice. It goes on the blue sheet.
Yep.
And it will say something to the effect that the board is having a public meeting to discuss six different ballot titles for advisory referenda. They are blah, 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 blah.
So make it five. So let's just focus on the transportation ones because those are the only ones that require resolutions. The fireworks advisory vote does not require a resolution, so it's simpler. So let's just have that on the 5th, and that way we can focus in on the ones that just simply the ones that have resolutions.
Okay.
Is that okay, guys?
And we'll ask everybody that build that bridge to have bring their buttons, build that bridge.
Build which bridge? That'll be the new button. Build which bridge?
I'm building to put on his badge.
Invite Ned Barnes with his team, wear their hard hats.
So we also need to do public notice for West County Bridge and anything else you guys come up with before the next board meeting, because that hasn't been public noticed yet for the August 6th.
So that's it as far as, can we like say time out on any more advisory votes for this year? Are we pretty locked as far as the number now, as far as what we're considering?
I think we're
good. Are we good?
I'm good.
Okay. All right, so we're good.
You hear that out?
It's on the tape.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. Lori, did you have anything else for us?
We need to talk about advisory committees and advisory statements and the timing of all of that. And I haven't met with Greg Kinsey yet.
I have. In fact, he provided the answers right here, Larry.
Great.
Okay.
Great.
So
I'll look at that.
Perfect. So you'll look at that, and that will be for next board times discussion, because we don't have to have that in the resolutions group, right?
Right. This was just for board time. So can I have this copy, or do you need... Okay.
Yeah, you can have it. Just keep in mind that if we need to give any public notice in order to determine who go through the process of assigning those individuals that we're speaking for and against, to make sure we know that process.
And in my experience, that's just something the board decides. So that's a board vote. It's not a... Okay. I mean, you can do that in board time, for example. So
you might want to have 2 minutes for public comment.
There's no... If you want public comment, you can do it like public meeting.
From what I heard, you gave like 7 minutes yesterday, man. So
only to one and two individuals. And I threatened him with that.
Thank you, Laura. Yeah. We'll see you next week. We'll be in contact individually. Tom and myself will be getting
bouncer.
So, Commissioner Milkey, so you and I individually will be getting language over to Lori, just so that she can kind of, and Axel can help as well, just kind of back check, make sure that we're on.
I'll put my appointment before Stuart.
Yeah, you feel free. All right. Thank you, Laura. I appreciate it.
You bet.
All right, animal shelter analysis. We're moving from advisory votes to animal shelters.
Shall I have Mr. Scarpelli come up to review the
performance? All right, so feel free to call him, and then we'll keep moving until he gets here.
Do you want me to have a public hearing on this? Do you want me to come?
That public meeting, you mean?
Yes.
Do we want Lori at the public meeting? Yes, because we may be making amendments at the public meeting that would be good to be able to have you there to fact check us a little bit.
Can staff put the amendment together?
I always watch you on my computer, so I'm aware, but do you need me there for advice purposes?
She has the camera in your office.
Exactly. So should we... So the only question would be if we have questions about legality of potential amendments to language, that would be why we would need her.
You will.
You should be there.
All right. I think it'd be good.
Just as...
Tuesday too, then.
Thanks, Laura.
Yep.
Appreciate it.
Wear your cape.
Did you get a hold of...
Yes, sir.
Okay. Let's just skip to vacancy review instead of getting the commission report. Because I need more time.
These are the balance from last week.
Okay.
I hope you have them.
Yes.
And we have one input from Marnie that the critical...
We got the wrong one.
The health department... Yeah, I gave Commissioner Medore new copies. That the four from the health department were... significantly needed. I have her workforce planning efforts if you'd like to review it. But the first one was the environmental health specialist 2 for the new pool and fall design plans, which are right now, they're doing that right now.
That was Lori.
I'm good with all of them, with one exception.
Which one was the exception?
It was the one that was the new position that's really not quite well defined, repurposed to title to be determined.
Right.
And the reason being is that Mark McCauley, who handles IT now, was going to get back with us regarding
the informaticist position. Okay, I'll put that aside.
Yeah,
all the rest
call.
I'm good with.
Okay. Yeah, I am as well.
Okay.
Are you?
Yeah, I guess so. What was the big push for the environmental health specialist?
Because it's summertime and they're doing all their
right
pool
now.
Stuff.
Yeah. So this is their season where they're really where they get hammered.
Okay. The other three are the Department of Community Services Program Coordinator, who is the CHAD program. That's part of the CDBG and Home Funds. It's fully funded by a grant.
Yep.
General Services Facilities Management
Electricians.
With the electrician.
Mm-hmm.
And facilities management was the
nutrition.
That's the other one.
Yeah, yeah. Was another one of those.
Okay.
I'm good with those.
That's all I got.
All right, so we got one coming back to us.
Which one?
The informaticist.
It's up on HEW0075.
Okay.
You hold on to that one.
That was a question on the IT staff.
Correct.
Okay. Yeah. All right, good. Gentlemen. Perfect. So we got through that one. Animal shelter analysis now, Paul and Bill.
I've given you, I'll hand it out again. We have two things going on. Commissioner Mielke asked for a facility analysis of what it would cost to build our own animal shelter facility at the fairground was the assignment. I've given you this. I'll give you another one. Paul is here to fill in the blanks. I'm sure you'll have questions on the details of that. And we also have, Paul can speak to the fact that you have another letter from the Humane Society on what the newest deal is in comparison with that, if you need to reference that.
Right, and the newest deal is basically that we would be paying their costs, but their costs from 2 or 3 years ago. And that, I mean, I forget the exact dates of it, but we would be ramping up.
We'd be ramping up from 130 that we're paying today to 200. After the first of the year.
I thought it was to 170.
So they bumped it to 200.
Technically asking for that right now in their letter.
200 would be 2015.
Yeah, so 2014 it was 170, I think. Right. Yeah.
Was that what they did?
Yeah, and then so we'd be paying 170, which has been their cost for a while, and then the 200, which is their current costs.
Okay.
We'd be taking an extra year before we got up to that, so we'd still be ramping up to that amount, is what they're asking.
So we're going up $40 per animal for 2014.
Yeah, that's the request. And there's an annual cost associated with that. And Paul, did you put this together? This right here?
Yes, I'll say yes.
that's the same one that Bill gave me.
Correct.
Last week.
I just extra copy.
And is the $450,000, so that's cost per county animal only, that's at the $200 level.
Yeah.
So do we have the cost associated with the $170 level?
Yes.
Where?
Right now. It's lower. $382.5.
So instead of 450, it'd be 382.5 is what the potential cost would be, because we only pay for the animals that actually go in. But it'd be 382.5 for 14.
I guess the assumption, Commissioner, is that you can't
build a facility. A 200. So I was like, yeah. 170. What would it be? That's what I said.
You can't build and occupy a facility for the $200 per year.
Oh, I get what you're saying. I get what you're saying.
That's true.
And then you have two options for animal shelter facilities. Can you just run through these real quick with us?
Well, it's really just contingent upon the square footage at the top. Mm-hmm. 10,000 we deem to be quite tight. The 15,000 would be more appropriate. And I do have a breakdown on how we come up with the 15,000. Consists of a...
What is 15,000?
Square feet.
Oh, square feet. Yeah.
And so if you have a kennel facility that allows for the occupancy of 25 dogs and 11 cats at any one time, you're looking at about 5,000 square feet there. You've got a lobby of 1,000 along with receiving. You've got an examination room, offices, restrooms, janitorial, utility space,
Paul, I think that part of my issue is that we're looking for an animal shelter, not a humane society.
Correct.
And that fulfills our obligation for animal control. But when we start going into providing doctors and examination rooms and things of that nature, I think we're pumping the cost.
Where would we put the animals when we bring them in and they're injured?
Well, I guess if they're injured, I guess that you'd have to decide whether or not you want to take them to the doctor's hospital or euthanize them.
But that would be a cost, though, to take
them to the doctor. Well, we have to keep them for 3 days or 2 or 3 days, depending on...
So if it's an unlicensed animal, you have to keep it for 3 days. If it's a licensed animal, you have to keep it for 5. The the concern also is that you want to make sure that someone is evaluating the dog before it is allowed into the shelter, so it's not bringing disease into the facility. So at all times in intake, you want to have the individual certified in that sort of work.
So Camas Washougal provide those same services?
Camas and Washougal has the capacity for 9 animals, and they have 3 part-time staff, and they have approximately 50 volunteers that put in about 300 hours per week, and their charge is $120 for a 5-day stay.
Can we contract to them?
No. They don't have the capacity for it.
They're not interested.
They're just too small.
They're too small.
We've asked them the question.
I have asked Mark Brichtel the question, and they don't have the capacity for us.
If I can offer an alternative, rather than the idea of building a facility, I think what may be a more practical choice would be for us to be able to make a difference between dogs and cats. For instance, the cats, feral cats, they're not domesticatable. You're not going to adopt feral cats. They don't make pets. And the Humane Society right now does not have a feral cats program like other entities do. What the other entities do is they bring the cat in. If it's not already have a little snip off the top of the ear that says that cat's already been sterilized, they sterilize the cat and they'll care for it until it gets healed, put it back out in the field. And that way you're not euthanizing them, you're controlling the population, and you can identify when you first see the cat, if you trap it, whether or not you've already that cat's already been sterilized. If it's sterilized, you don't have to bring it back in, right? Okay. So that would reduce the cost of bringing cats in. It would care for the cats better.
So the question would be, because we're just contracting for service, and we contract by the animal that they do the intake for. They have a board of directors that sets their own policies. Mm-hmm. But do we have flexibility in which animals we pay for them to take in? I mean, it's not a bad concept as far as having a feral cat strategy that may actually, it just lowers the number of animals, county animals that they're doing intake for. I mean, which would lower our costs.
So if a cat is identified as feral and is brought into the shelter, what is your understanding of what happens to that animal today?
Well, if it's already has the obvious little snip at the top of the ear that says it's already been sterilized, they wouldn't accept it. They say that cat's fine.
Is that what happens now? Or
no, they don't have a program. Other counties do.
So that's what you would suggest, which is a cool concept. I mean, but what do they do now? What happens to them now?
Well, there are, outside of the Humane Society, there's the feral cat community, and there are several other independent agencies here in Clark County that do that. They do dock the ear and mm-hmm. put it back into its environment because it's shown that that's the best thing for the animal, and it's actually the best thing for the environment. If you don't, then just move cats move in. Mm-hmm. Today, with the Humane Society, when a feral cat comes in and they can identify it as a feral, I believe they just euthanize it and we get charged for it.
See,
but they would charge us either way if they dock it.
Yeah, well, take it in there.
Is it the same charge though? I mean, because we pay by the day.
They still have to examine it.
That's my guess.
You take it into that facility, they're not going to house it unless they inspect it.
So I don't know that this is
like a tag and release program.
A significant portion of the population.
Taking them in.
I don't know that this is a significant portion. I don't know that this is going to move the needle very much on the 450. That they charge us per year. It's something to look at.
Actually, I did get the numbers from the Humane Society, and I should have brought it, but they, for the last 2 years, the number of cats, the number of dogs, the number of feral cats is there, and it is a substantial number. Paul, when you go out and you bring in a cat, do you identify whether or not it's already been sterilized? Do you look at the clip and then on the ear? So you don't bring it in if it's already been that way? Okay. Wouldn't it be smarter for the Humane Society to, in other words, what I'm suggesting is that we modify, we offer a different contract, we encourage them to adopt the what do you call it, the trap neuter release in our TNR program. In that way, we end up with more cats that are out there alive. People care about cats. They don't want them euthanized. You're going to bring them in, you're going to euthanize them. And this allow them to live, allow people to adopt them, and also prevent, as this process continues for several years, you'll end up with more and more cats that when you see them, think, oh, that one's okay, let it go.
Can you bring us a proposal on something like that? Because, I mean, I actually agree with the concept. I like the concept as far as having some sort of adjustment. For me, you know, their cost per animal wouldn't change. I mean, their cost per animal is what their cost per animal is. But if we can lower the number of animals that we're paying for as a county, we still lower our costs, which is ultimately the goal. And if that can occur by creating a program that, or us adopting a policy, or saying, hey, we need you to address this policy because we're not going to pay, you know, once they've been tagged and released, you know, we're not, you know, and sterilized, we're not paying for them to come back, and, you know, that would be of interest, I think.
Great progress has been made, and it was reflected in Stacy's email yesterday that the intake population has gone down in both cats and dogs over the last couple of years. So they've done a great job with their, they have like a tri-county consortium and things like that.
But they don't have anything on feral cats. Can you bring us back a policy on that?
Well,
sweet.
There's some shelters that don't pick them up at all.
Well, I think the idea is that they wouldn't, is they'd see that their ear had been clipped or whatever, let you know, and you just let them.
I don't want people coming down and say, here's my cat, and I've got seven kittens, and multiply it by $170, and they send us the bill. And I don't think that's right. I don't think we should be expected to do that.
It's probably not right, but ultimately, if you don't at least sterilize them before you're releasing these cats, then you're going to have a ridiculous problem.
Then I'm paying full bore over to Humane Society because they've been entered in there, they've been examined, they've been and been neutered or spayed.
So well, what you could do is you could potentially have a simpler, very dedicated, focused program. Well, let's say that the county provides a service of this, what do you call it? Yeah, the trap,
TNR.
Neuter, TNR program, and we hire a vet to do that, and that's and so
Humane Society's already got that.
Well, what I'm thinking is that the Humane Society charges us how much to neuter or spay a cat? Then a couple $100, or $200 or $300.
That's included in the $170.
So, well, if it goes to the Humane Society, it's $170 now and $200 later. You got a let's say you pick up seven kittens and a mom. You're talking about $1,600 there, where if you're gonna how often do you bring cats in?
Every day.
So instead of paying the going rate of $170 per kitten that you bring in, you could pay easily for a single vet who gets paid what? $600 a day, and you could do a dozen or more cats and save us all money, and the cat population is improved. So that it just basically says the Humane Society is really good at cats and dogs that can be adopted as pets and caring for those. But they're not really good at all. They're not doing anything right now for the Care of Feral Cats program. And so this could be, you could carve that part of it out, and it could save us all money, allow them to focus on those, on the friendly critters, and it'll allow us to be able to handle those that don't make themselves friendly. And we all save money, and everybody wins.
So how does that work after you pick up the litter of kitten, you take them in, wherever,
you take them
to a vet.
You could take it to a vet, or make a special deal with the vet and says, hey, because we're going to bring so many to you, I want these, you know, how much are going to, what's it going to cost you to sterilize, you know, a litter of kittens?
Okay.
A whole lot less money than.
So the vet does that, then you call animal control to come back and pick up the cat and take it back where you found it? What do you do with them then?
Well, we have to, the idea is to nail us down to figure out what's a better way. Right now, this sounds like there is a potential better way. We have to study and figure out how to do that. In a way that costs less money, that is more friendly to the critters that are out there, So I'll be happy to sign up to do some of the homework along with you, Paul, to figure out how can we implement a smarter program.
So today, with very rare instance, no animal is adopted back out of the Humane Society without being spayed or neutered. It's a very, very rare instance. Most of them are simply because they're juveniles and they're too young to have that operation take place. So they've been very, very proactive in that manner, and that's one of the reasons, along with the Tri-County area and part of the $15,000 we give each year to the spay-neuter program, that we're seeing the population come down that's on the intake side of the shelter.
Yeah.
So they're already most of the way there. They just don't have a focused feral cat program.
Yeah. So we would invite the Humane Society to propose a feral cat program that we can contract with them to do, or we can potentially find an alternative way to handle that. Because right now, it's not working very well at all. It's costing us maximum amount, and the cats are being killed. This would allow them to live and allow them to be able to make sure that we save money in the process.
So where are they going to live?
Well, once they stay or noodle,
I know they dump a whole bunch out in my neighborhood.
That's right, so. Exactly.
And we feed coyotes with them.
That's exactly.
Well, the problem
is that's what you're doing. That's exactly what you're doing.
Yeah, it can become Kitty McNuggets. Yeah, but
that'd be very, very blunt. I mean, that's what goes on.
Well, the problem is not that there's feral cats out there. The problem is that if you don't do something, they will take over.
That's
and they'll
the issue.
Multiply like crazy.
That's the issue. So ultimately,
they take care of the rodents.
All right. So you had a proposal for how we might actually have a feral cat policy. You know, there are examples. It sounds like of feral cat policies that we can draw from. Can you bring us a proposal that we might propose to the Humane Society?
They've already got one. They've been communicating that to the commissioner that they want to move forward with.
Perfect.
So
then
it's already there.
Well, they have an intention.
Right,
they
but we don't have a policy.
Have a program.
Understood.
So bring whatever policy, magic policy, you want to back to us, and so that we can take a look at it, and so then hopefully we can move forward with the contract that the Humane Society would like us to sign, and that we, sounds like, would be fiscally prudent to sign. But to be truly fiscally prudent, we do need to deal with this issue as far as federal costs, the lower overall cost.
Mm-hmm. So to add to that, certainly we want to offer the Humane Society the opportunity to be able to offer something for us. But
absolutely.
You also mentioned that there are other organizations or other
feral cats.
That has feral cats right here in Clark County.
Yeah.
So you can bring that also and say, well, suppose we were to bring the animals to you, how could you work with us on that?
Let me give her that.
Okay, so include that on your plate.
In her house.
Okay.
All right, cool. So thank you.
So are you going to...
So September 1st is around the corner. So
yeah.
I believe that I'm hearing that you're okay with the proposed rate. However, we're hoping to find a way to reduce the total cost via the quantity intake.
I would say that between now and then, we would work to know what kind of services we'll be providing and how will that impact the dogs and cats and other kinds of critters. It's rather than just simply a dollar amount. If we end up being smarter about what kind of animals and what kind of services they're providing, then the total amount can go down because you have less kind of services and you can potentially have that higher amount per animal.
I think that's what he...
Yeah.
Dave,
good.
Dave, I'm hungry to point your proposal. I don't see a whole lot unless the Humane Society is going to pick up some of those costs or skip steps. And then you also mentioned about looking for a vet to take litters of kittens too. Well, it comes back to the same thing. The litter's too small to spay or neuter. What do you do with the kittens?
Well, they have to hold on to them until they're at an adoptable age.
Oh, yeah.
And
well,
not,
yeah,
and
more
than
5 days.
And not all the cat litters that come in are feral.
Right. Well, I would think that if you know that there are a litter of kittens out there in the wild, and you know that if it is true, and I don't know yet, we have to find out, that they're too young to spay or neuter, you know, that you wouldn't bring them in yet. And instead, you would let them get to the age where at least they look like you can spay or neuter them, and then you'd bring them in. So it saves you time, It controls the population. Right. It lowers the cost.
So the significance of the cost savings will be part of what we will be looking for in the proposal, because lowering the overall cost is a big piece of this. So we have one opinion that it may not lower the overall cost much. One, I mean, I think we're hopeful that it might, but we need to see numbers on that.
We need to look into it, basically.
Okay. You got it? We good?
I got it in the beginning, yes. I got it. I understand.
Perfect. Thank you, Paul. I appreciate it.
You're Superman Kate now.
I just want to know where the animals go from Jane.
Well, we'll figure it out.
That's a question you should have asked your mom and dad a long time ago.
Where they come from.
Oh, wait, that's where they come from, not where they go. Sorry, a whole different thing. All right. Welcome to Clark County Business. We have a broad array of things that we speak to.
Her,
so.
She was talking to herself, too.
Speaking of broad array of things, thanks, Paul. All right, so that goes through old business. Let's finish up staff reports, and then we'll finish with ours. So I'm just messing with that a little bit. Sorry. Work session prioritization.
I just want the board to see these are all the board recommended work session either approved or proposed for today, and you'll see those outlined there. I wanted to point out that we're all the way through November for work session. And if you're okay with that, that's fine. I just want to make sure that you understand that that's where we are.
You want us to work for a living or something?
No, sir. I just want to make you aware that there are some priorities. The stuff that's on, the proposals that are on here are time sensitive. You've either approved or we haven't seen yet. So, but these, I just want to let you know because, and I asked, my request was it would be helpful if we could collapse down the 1.5 hour in between to 15 minutes would help us, would move us up some. You did indeed.
Yeah.
So, it allows us to go long if necessary on some of these. That becomes a pressure and a problem. We need to be able, if we're focused and all the team's there, and we need to be able to probe a little bit further on something, I would rather not to say, oh, we're out of time. I think the half hour between them is going to be necessary in order for us to really do our job.
I would like to take the time right now to run through these to see if we still feel that we need to do them.
Go.
And the reason why I see down here on the 7th, we're going to come back and talk about the...
What are you looking at? 7th?
August 7th. 7th.
Got it. Yeah.
We're coming back and looking at TIP. Is that the park impact fee? Or
no.
Is that traffic impact fee?
Right. No, that's TIP. Yeah. It would be the Transportation Improvement Program. It's the only TIP we have.
I don't know what that is. That may not be. That may come up.
Well, actually, if you move one up here, we got purchase card performance audit. Rather than have a work session on that, is that something we can do in board time?
I think that's something we should talk about right now. I don't need one. I thought we had a credit card that we use there. Is that what
I don't think it's about that. I think they use it for purchasing.
It's a purchase. There's a number of departments that have a P card, and they've done a performance audit of it to tell you how it's going.
Okay.
I can just hand out the report to you if that's all you want. This is a request of the auditor.
If there's no problem, be interested in to just see the report.
Fine.
I think that's what the auditor was hoping to do a little thing. Thanks for coming in, ladies.
Thanks. Do you want a report?
Actually, that's a good alternative for you to provide a written report to us, and if we feel like it, you can, when you do that, you can say, do you want a work session on this, or you would normally have a work session in terms of that.
Okay. That's what the auditor did. He asked. He said, "Hey, I'd like to do I'd like to do a report, like an actual work session."
Right. Instead of just automatically granting it, they would provide it, and then we'll say.
That's what I do every Wednesday. You need to pay closer attention to that. Maybe
that's the work session request.
Say, no, I don't want to see that. I just want to give me the.
We say yes a lot.
I thought this was already a work session that's planned here.
They've been reported. You see nothing else, if you see no requests, then these have been approved already.
And so for the future, for our work session requests, we definitely can be tighter about looking at when we, instead of just saying yeah to everything, which we do a lot. We think it through. Bit more.
County debt policy. What is that about?
That's coming to, you don't have one now. We don't have one, and the finance team would like us to adopt one.
So our debt policy, we have one, and the goal is to try to reach 60 days?
No, that's the fund balance, sir. This is going into debt. to go into bond. What do we do when you go into bonds? What do we have to consider?
We're not talking about going to bonding, are we?
I know, sir, but you do have it. You do have debt, and you do. You are carrying it, and there is no policy on the books to do it. We would like you to look at something for the future, so if and when we ever want to do it, that you have a policy for it. This has been requested by the auditor and the treasurer.
Because we're in debt.
No, we're looking at it because we don't have a policy about going into debt.
So if we're not in debt and we're not paying debt.
We have
a
lot of debt.
Is that what we're going to look at? We're going to look at a policy to address the debt that we have today.
No. We're looking at a policy that you don't have on the books to deal with that should it come up in the future. So you have a policy on...
Let's talk about in the future then. But you're telling me it's for future bonding, right?
But we don't have any policy in that regard. What we've done have been on a case-by-case basis. The treasurer and the auditor and I feel it's very important for you to consider a policy so it's sitting on the shelf, ready for you should you have to, for example, bond the road fund for a future road project that we were talking about this morning.
No use bonding. It's going to take 4 years to get my bridge anyway.
Well, I get 4 years. You're short. I like that.
Here's what I would suggest on this is that rather than present all of these specific topics in a work session where you have all the staff assembled and you schedule at a formal time, then instead you would provide the report to each of us so that we can read them and do our homework on it. And if we want to follow up with the work session, then we respond back to you on that. Does that sound workable?
So the only issue... The reason for work sessions is so that instead of us having one-on-one conversations and asking the same question over and over to staff, that we ask the question once, and then you ask the question, I get to hear the answer to it, and so that I'm not asking the same question of staff in every meeting. It's inefficient for our staff to end up spending three times as much time just because we don't want to do a work session. So, and there's benefit to us being able to actually have that conversation because we can't have that conversation outside of a work session or board time or a public hearing. So there's value to, on something like this, and on a lot of things. It's valuable for us. It's valuable for staff. It's valuable for the public to also listen in on it.
How about board tech?
The board time...
I don't know what they're going to present or how much they're going to give us. We don't foresee bonding for any debt. We're trying to...
I'm good with taking that one off because of exactly what you said. I agree with that.
Well, what I'm proposing is a two-step process. The first step would be a report that would come to each of us, and then we would read through it, we would do our homework, and then we would bring that back and with response back to Bill or back to board time that would say, this looks like an appropriate one for us to have board a work session because we have questions or because we feel like there's some changes that need to be here, and that would then raise it to that next level instead of being in everything starting out at that next level.
Same thing.
Yeah, I think so. I think it's the same thing. But ultimately, the only difference, and this is, and it's good, I'm trying to parse it out to figure out where the difference was. The difference is that work session request list you got right there, Bill, before you bring that to us, we have information that says why they need a work session, and not the why do I need a work session. It's here. Can I see the work session request form, please?
It's on the yellow.
Left side?
It's on the yellow.
No.
It's on the yellow.
Okay, so vacant buildable lands inventory. So it says per staff's request. So instead of it just saying per staff's request and you telling us why they need it, that we would have information provided to us about the issue. We have a chance to look at that information, do our homework on that, and then so that when we are coming in and being asked, hey, we need to go to a work session, that we have an understanding of why. And it could be very simple, like this, law requires it or... whatever, but if we have some information ahead of time, then we have a better chance of making an educated decision as to whether it needs to go to a work session or whether we can just deal with it.
Let me answer those three. You asked for the vacant buildable lands model after Oliver presented his last week at the comp plan update.
Up on 50,
you asked for that.
Came up, right?
Yes.
The annual review and dockets, that should be obvious.
It's obvious to me, but.
Well,
it's not obvious to everybody in the world.
The annual process provides for you to approve what you've looked at earlier.
Why do you need
spring?
To do a work session on it? That's the question that staff should be able to answer. And what is
you
first
make
vote?
You make decisions on it.
So, true, but you can provide information ahead of that instead of just saying, well, staff says you need
it. We do provide information ahead of this because this is where you actually made a decision.
You provide information ahead of the work session.
Right.
What we're asking for is take that information that you're going to give us for the work session, put it ahead of the ask. That's all I'm asking. Oh. You got it?
We'll give
perfect.
It paperwork ahead of time.
That's what I'm saying. That's it.
Kind of like what we ask each other before we go to the
That's interview. Right.
There may be, and Bill, you can use, I assume that there are, he can use his discretion on some of these things that are pretty obvious you need a work session. So it's not like you have to have a formal process that always requires us to do this or that. If it's obvious that it needs a work session, really obvious, then you would do it.
Well,
but if it's somewhat subjective that you can prime us ahead of time and give us the report, then at that point we can respond with to cover those gray areas.
What I would suggest is that what's obvious is subjective, because what's obvious for Bill after having been here as long as he has is not obvious to me still, you know, in a large sense. So what I would say is I agree with the concept. If you just say for something that Bill says, hey, this is obvious because this is how you have to do it, and this, then he could just say that and give us that in the information and say, look, this is just one of those things you have to do, and this is why. And
so what do you suggest?
Just exactly that. Just so we get the information ahead of the ask, we move the information forward. Sometimes the information is going to be a fuller set of information. Some of it's just you got to do this and this is why, and move on.
Okay, you know? So we get the information to us individually, mm-hmm. and then
yes.
what?
And then once we've had that, then we come to board time, and there will be an ask of should we move forward with a work session?
Good with that. Sure.
For example, I think there's clearly work sessions are either for information to you, for example, the impacts of the Affordable Care Act. You asked for, hey, mm-hmm. tell us that. So that's what we put it here. Community Mediation Services Annual Report, the annual report by your various commissions. That's information. The other thing where I would say where the subjectivity ends is you need to make a decision here.
Right.
The staff needs you to say yes or no.
Yeah. Or it's moving to the Planning Commission,
right.
and so you got to get going.
And especially when you see this is going out months into the future, it's foreseeable. For that,
absolutely.
There's going to be information that we're going to have to do homework on.
Mm-hmm.
And then if that be the case, then we'll bring it back, we'll talk about board time,
right.
and we'll determine whether it's appropriate for us to go to a work session, and then even equip better to make sure that at that point, since we've done our homework at that time,
mm-hmm. can I
to specify that we need these particular areas a little bit more information.
Can we keep these here while I do that review, though?
That would make the most sense.
For example, I'll go for next week. I'll go, hey, purchase card, just give me the report. The
right.
board just wants to see the report right now.
Right.
And I don't know, I'll look at those other two. The debt policy, I can give you a copy of it.
Mm-hmm.
Cool.
And for things, as we're moving out to, 3 weeks, 4 weeks out, get us information like on, you'd mentioned, impacts of the Affordable Care Act. Give us a little bit on why this should be a work session and not just you just providing us information, because it is an informational work session. It's nothing that we have, we're not being asked to make a decision about it.
Okay. Well, that's a bit more complex,
right?
That particular one, and I would think that they could give me all the paperwork they want, and I still wouldn't understand it.
So that might be the reason to have a work session on it. Plus,
would,
it may be something our citizens are dealing with that we want to have it in public so that they understand.
It's amazing. I've heard from four or five experts now, and they're all not quite agreeing.
That's a great reason for a work session.
So if I understand correctly, let me summarize the way that I think that we're going here. Each of these items, we would provide, the staff would provide each of us the packet of information. We would do our homework. We'd bring that back as an agenda item to board time, and we would discuss whether or not we want a work session on that, mm-hmm. and if there's any other particular focus or detail information on that. And is that the way it works?
Yeah.
Are we good? All right.
That's
okay.
it.
Sounds good.
All right. Bill, you have what you need on that?
How about the three for today?
Give me information, and then we'll tell you whether it's a work session.
You got me.
All these are Thursdays.
Right.
You got me.
Yeah, you already got us out to November, so it's not like those three are getting in anytime soon.
I didn't trick you, darling.
Nice try. All right, rural land study, I don't think we need to do. Is there anything we have to do today with Oliver on that?
He just wanted to have guidance. I can.
On
he has the whether or not to hire the consultant for a further engagement as we get to the end.
Let's do one-on-ones with Oliver, because I think we need
I've already done a one-on-one with him on that. I got a copy of it.
Good.
And certainly want your feedback on it, but I look at that and I think, absolutely not. Do not hire those guys to do the same thing they did last time. You end up with an $80,000 notebook that tells you the obvious before you start.
I'll come back and talk to you, okay?
Yeah. Bye. Okay, so we'll do our one-on-ones with Oliver, find out more about what process he's proposing moving forward with it. We do, and I will say, we do need to get moving on the rural lands update, because we've been, we've talked to the rural landowners for a long time about, hey, it's your turn. Mm-hmm. At some point, we're going to be back into the urban growth plan, and we've got to have already done our work on the rural.
Yeah, certainly right.
All right, so that's that. So, Commissioner reports. Mr. Vice Chair, what do you got?
I want to go over the reason for everybody wanting a newspaper, and overall, I thought they were kind of lame.
Is it the litter tax? Is that what we want?
I'm just saying that could
pay for it, for our subscription.
First of all, I think that we should have complimentary copies of the newspaper. One, because we put all the information on a regular basis as public notices. Mm-hmm. Any other time that I was to put an ad in a paper, they send me that page as a tear sheet along with my bill. They don't do that. They don't send us those tear sheets or give us copies.
Think about all the papers this guy sells for them. I mean, that should be worth something, shouldn't
they
it?
They should
be worth
something.
They got to get some sort of paper. That's what, I don't know.
And that's why. Who is in charge of doing that? Is that PIO?
Each department that puts it in. For example, if it's a public hearing notice, that we would get that on behalf of the board. The clerk would get that.
Do you mean the subscription, or do you mean the legal notices? Which are you talking about? I'm sorry. As far as who's in charge of it.
Well, I guess, first of all, we give the newspapers literally thousands of dollars in public notices. Mm-hmm. And the other thing that we also do, thousands of dollars in ads that we pay to put in there, whether we're promoting different things or whatever. So, you think for us to ask for complimentary newspapers is not out of line at all. Another problem is, and they don't have to give us as many as we get today. But when CJC says, well, they want to keep track of their cases on the newspaper. Gee, they're in charge of their cases. They should know where they are.
I understand that. The CJC, Children Justice Center is wanting to. Reasons why.
Those are reasons why the reasons department gets the newspaper.
Staff tracks their cases in crime and court stories, tracks of initial suspected crime or behavior by offenders, suspected offender. Okay.
So overall, I thought they were quite lame. When they put something in there, under public notice, they go back and they check it. They put it in there, they got a record of what they put in there. So why do they have to go read the newspaper to see what was put in there? They have a record of when it was put in there. And it's repetition 29 times over in 29, I don't know if everybody got a copy of that bill. Did they?
I sent it to the board. Yes, it's on here.
Sorry,
it's on
your chance.
What do you suggest?
I'm suggesting twofold. We shouldn't be buying newspapers. Number two, the newspapers should be giving us complimentary newspapers for the advertisement that we do there, or a minimum of tear sheets of every time that we put a notice in there. So if every week we put public notices in there, we should get tear sheets sent to us to show that it was in there.
We get those.
But if we get those, then why do we need the newspapers? Because it shows it shows
down,
it there.
I've given you the responses.
Yeah. Well, you like those, huh?
Some of them make sense.
Did you get a chance to read them?
No.
Okay. So that's my out-of-the-box thing. So we can bring it back and have further discussion.
I appreciate you getting that information, or getting the information on why we have all those subscriptions.
Yeah. And the other thing that I had, we had this thing come to us 2-3 weeks ago.
What is it?
What is it?
That's from.
Well, that's kind of what I'm asking. What is it?
Oh, the Partnership for Washington's Waters and Workers.
We've kind of tabled it for a while. It came from Mike Burgess. It's a partnership that's getting put together in Olympia.
The idea is to get jurisdictional partners and business and labor and all these guys to come in and talk about stormwater issues and the fish consumption rates issue. Basically, the water issues that are going to end up hurting business. So they couldn't figure it out during the legislative session. So there's a coalition coming together, of public and private, to be able to actually say, "Hey, look, you got to do something, legislature. You can't just keep loading us up with this."
Okay,
that's what it's about. But
it's
Mike can tell us
kind of like a WASAC group coming together
on one issue
to look at the
problem
with common issue.
A lot of different parties.
Yeah.
There's some conversation as to when the reorganization, as to what to do with GIS, was to bring it back under Marty. And then Peter Van Norwich said, you know, I probably use the GIS more than anybody. I'd like to have consideration of maybe putting GIS back under the assessor.
When he liked GIS being under, there was a specific aspect of GIS
land
that
mapping.
The land management stuff. The rest of it he said is working great.
Ian McCauley, our meeting in August.
Okay, that's all I wanted to bring up.
Right.
And Pete has a breakdown. We ran out of time last time. He is coming, or he has it already, and we haven't seen it yet. The breakdown on the FTE cost on parks.
It's in his final draft, and he's bringing it next week. I think we can bring it in my one-on-ones with you Monday, I hope.
Okay.
Good.
There's a case I wanted to bring up here because I'd worked on it, and I come to find out that Mr. Medor had worked on it, and the lieutenant said you worked on it.
I don't know.
Java Depot.
What is it?
Java Depot.
It's
a coffee expo thing.
What's going on?
That I thought we resolved this 3 years ago.
What is it?
It's regulations of a coffee drive-through coffee shop.
Is this the one up on 72nd?
On 88.
On 88. Oh, I know which one you're talking about. Yeah, yeah. West of Costco.
Yes.
Yeah. 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 I thought we saw that a few years ago.
Everything three years ago, and then I come to find out that Dave Medor got involved again.
Well, we did solve it then, and now he's messing with it. What did that?
This is what small business goes through. And it's an example of us not being business friendly.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't buy it.
It's never been permitted. There was a purchase and a sale, if I'm thinking of the right one that I worked with Marty two years ago on.
Southside of 88.
He's already invested.
Yep. No, I know.
He's been in business for a while.
We had some good consideration.
We go to the little coffee shop and say, I'm looking for a $15,000 site review plan. Yeah.
Yeah.
Her code enforcement case was put on hold while we worked through what we were working through at that time was a small business code revision
to capture some of this. This has gone on clear back when the coffee shop on 219th at Dollar's Corner, Dolly's coffee shop, we started with that.
Yeah.
We need to have something to allow these things to exist. My son is up here from Anaheim, California. You know what he talks about? They have no coffee shops down there. It is big. I mean, it's kind of an example of how big this is and how people rely on it and look forward to it. So.
Us Northwesters, we like our coffee, man.
I know. So. I know. He's coming in today and he tickled to death. He's had coffee lately.
What else you got?
Well, actually, wait a minute. We haven't done anything with that. There's really two specific action items regarding that.
He handed it to Axel.
Well, I handed it to Axel, but that doesn't do anything yet. Except put it on your plate, and you're wondering, there's really two parts to this. One is to give this one particular customer relief. She's been spending thousands of dollars or lots of hours, and she's just trying to run a little coffee depot or a coffee shop drive through. We need to give her relief. And so I would think that the direction to staff would be help her out, get this done. It should have been done years ago. And then the second thing would be, in other words, walk it through. Be friendly toward her. The other thing would be to come up with a policy that is somehow we don't penalize tiny businesses like this.
Reasonable.
We're treating them all like big businesses.
They have a porta potty out there for their personal use.
Right.
I don't know about her, but many of them bring in their water in 5-gallon jugs. because that's what they are.
So,
you know.
So before we, so I haven't had a chance to. I mean, it's been a few years.
Well,
but
you missed.
No, exactly. But I do remember us talking about this, and we've talked about several drive-through coffee shops, and there are multiple issues associated with it, with them, and they're all different because some of them pave, some of them don't, some of them have access to an arterial, some of them don't, some of them have bathroom, some of them don't. One thing I don't think we haven't been in the business of, and that I think is a bad precedent, is one-off just saying, yeah, we will bless you and take away all your pain, when others still had to go through the process or have to go through the process. It's changing the process. I mean, I agree with that aspect of it. What we did before was we put the any sort of code enforcement on hold, saying we're going to fix this. What is unfortunate and which is annoying is that it was put on hold and it didn't get fixed. So it's got to get fixed, but not just for them. I mean, because it'll come up again, and instead of having one off, like, I'm going to solve yours and yours, not yours, not yours, and not, I mean, yeah, it's just...
That's what I'm saying. We need to do two things. We need to fix the process.
Yes.
And we need to fix this particular customer that you thought was fixed years ago.
And I agree with you, but you do that by fixing the process, not by blessing that single one-off.
No, I'm not sure. Well, wait, let me back up a little, because what I'm not saying is somehow... make an exception for this.
Exactly.
Case. That's not what I'm asking.
Good.
What I'm saying is, be helpful toward her.
Oh,
they're requiring her to jump through hoop after hoop after hoop, and they're not being helpful. The staff needs to make sure that they are business friendly, and their job is to help make their customers successful. This is an opportunity to do that.
Have you talked to staff about what they've done to help or no?
We've had multiple meetings
with staff.
Them, with staff.
Okay.
With Marty and his team. Yes.
Okay.
And they need to be able to get. They need to just simply be helpful for this person.
So and they may come back and say, well, to be helpful, we need a policy shift. And well, so, but we need that answer from them so that we can make that happen.
Yeah.
So can we direct Axel to get her done and bring that back?
Yeah. Two things: one, be helpful for this person. Two, let's see what you can do to help us to arrive at a policy that's business friendly for tiny businesses like this.
Could be something.
Good.
A winery. We got it in winery.
Oh, we're not going to wineries yet. Is that still on your
chart? We're going to fix it.
All right. Exactly. So, all right. We're still with you, Commissioner Milky. So, do we have direction on that item? Are we good?
Is that clear?
See what we can do.
Yes. It's clear.
See what the minimum that we can do.
But I can't change the code for one person, and I don't have the authority to waive fees for one person, and I guarantee
and we're not
you.
Yeah, to do
so,
exactly
so what we're looking at,
that's where we're
she's
going.
Willing to pay a fee.
What can we do? You're supposed to bring the suggestion from staff as to, well, what can the board do?
Which is a code revision, and that's what I can work on.
And we can also make sure that...
I'm nice to them.
The problem I have with site review plan. They're making it sound like it's a big business to set down tables and something. We don't need to go there.
Yeah. What's really good about individuals that come to us and say, this is a permit from hell process I'm going through here, is that we don't say, well, we're going to make an exception for you. Instead, we say, oh, you've just enlightened us with the insight that says, there's something broken about how we're doing things, and so we're going to fix how it's broken.
Yes. Agreed. Totally agree. All right. Good. Thank you.
I'm still here. Still got the floor, right?
It's on you.
I got this thing some time back, and I don't know what the status is. Ladies, look, I'm going to probably just give this to Axel. I didn't get over to see Pete and his
friend. What is it?
Lady, it's a doctor that licensed. A psychologist, and she's been looking for vacation of this vacated piece of property.
Oh, road vacation.
Yeah.
Oh.
That
would go to public work.
And it's been around for a long, long time.
Okay.
And so.
Gave packet and check to Pete in Real Property Services, and that was on 6/20. Is that, whose writing is that? Is that Linnea's?
That's where I got it.
So this, somebody gave this to Pete. So can we follow up with Pete and see what they ever did with this?
He's got the little sticky note on the bottom there. You have this folder.
Put it in. That's
you get a pretty blue folder.
Oh, great.
It's moving up in the world.
That's great.
That does it. I'm going to supply folders from now on.
No, because the other things I have here, as we lighten up our load on our work deals, work sessions, we got to address the level of service. We keep going back up, and I would.
We have a work session set for it. September 11th.
We were talking about level of service work session.
Yes.
Got it scheduled already.
We do.
Every time we turn around, we're bumping our heads on this thing year after year after year.
Yep, we set a date just so that
concurrence
lit a fire under us. Yep.
Can I keep that one without any?
We definitely need to keep that one. It's a good one.
I would love the information ahead of time in addition, Bill. And you can keep your workshop. I like to do my homework.
Okay.
And I have some deep concern with what WSU is doing or heading down the road, and that is that to avoid having dormitories on campus, they're going out and trying to locate a apartment or hotel and then guaranteeing 50% occupancy to get around the idea of it, because they know that they were placed there with the idea that they were not going to have a dormitory type campus, and they're trying to circumvent that by high density housing, apartments or hotels, and then having the staff have pupils stay there instead of on campus. It's the same thing. So I get concerned with the stuff that's going on there on 50th, and as we move forward with the rezoning of that we make it very, very clear that dormitories are not to be on campus. It doesn't mean you go across the street and stab us in the back.
So you're trying to make it clear that if in the area that we would be bringing in for urban holding, that is not, we're not bringing it in for multifamily dormitory style.
Right.
I hear you.
I just see it. I see it just maneuvering that direction continuously all the time. So.
You knew it was going to happen, though, man. The second they started freshmen coming, you know, I mean, when they moved to a 4-year instead of just the 2-year, it set everything in motion that they were going to have to do
they
something.
They want to pull themselves separate from Pullman, even.
I don't know.
They want to have dormitories. They can go to Pullman and have dormitories.
That's the struggle. That's why I didn't like that location in the first place. Is because the transportation system isn't good to go in there, and you have neighbors and neighborhoods around it that specifically were told there aren't going to be dorms there. But the second they put it in there, it set in motion that okay, it's 2-year. Well, now it's 4-year. Now maybe we want and I have every expectation there's going to be dorms there at some point.
I think we should be very clear with that.
There's going to be apartments in Salmon Creek that kids are living
very,
in.
Very clear that if they participate in it, that they're breaking the agreement that they had with us, and therefore we would not permit that or allow that. So
we have only limits. We have limits on what we can do, right? I mean, as far as what we can prohibit.
They always talk about working partnerships.
I agree. I don't disagree with you a bit. I mean, I grew up right around there, and I just, it's a problem. I mean,
and
there's benefits to having a 4-year university close by, though.
When we're talking about partnerships, I saw that there's a possibility of something coming up for a work session with a fire marshal again.
Again.
And to my knowledge.
Get the information, though.
To my knowledge,
that was in the yellow.
Good answer.
Is that what I thought?
Was in the yellow.
To my knowledge, I was the last meeting that I went with them, with the fire chiefs and whatnot. Mm-hmm. They weren't quite interested in sharing. Unless you have something new,
District 5 is. District 5
okay.
is.
And the reason,
thanks to you, you did a great job. I know.
And I was the last thing I said. So I said, you know that fire training area you want over there at the fairgrounds?
Yeah. No, nice. I like that.
Are we partnering?
That could come out the work
session. Are we partnering or not?
I like it. I think that's good stuff.
Well, I'll tell you, the first email I got was from Chief Mason when you brought up the pro forma for putting a dog pound on it. I said, well.
Yeah, we're putting it right behind the fire station.
There you go.
That's it. I'm done.
Okay. Yeah, I have one.
I'm sorry, we're out of time.
Our county website, under community development, when you go to permits, instead of them instructing how the permit program works, it basically is it's got political stuff on there that I think is completely inappropriate. and here's a copy of it.
You didn't put that there, did you?
I just saw that.
No. And so this, certainly the minutes ought to be able to have.
Take it off. Take it off. Just take it off.
Oh, Steve!
I don't need quotes in every little thing we do. It's fine.
Well, okay, good.
It's silly.
So the idea is to be friendly, and especially if we're promoting. We wanted to say, come here and learn how we're...
We had a press release that went out, and I think we got to a point where we agreed neutral and all that. But yeah, for just stuff on there. We don't have quotes or who voted which way on what for this. You done? Cool.
All right.
I love seeing my name in print and all. You know, it hurts to take my name off of something, but, you know. yeah, exactly. Take it. Yeah, good. Anything else?
Let me see here. I got that. We keep in mind that we have to come up with a process. We have to be able to identify and invite people to write statements for and against the ballot measures going to be put out.
And Lori's going to talk with us about that. You gave her information. She'll talk us about it next week at board time, so we'll make sure we get it on the board time agenda for next week.
Yeah, and also, I do have one other thing to talk about, and that is, remember I mentioned this, two meetings ago, the idea of adding public comment to our normal board meetings out there at the very beginning of our meetings and at the very end of our meetings.
Do you realize how long we'd still be there from last Tuesday? We went, how long did we go last time?
3 hours and 40 minutes.
Well, it's a winery's ordinance.
That's what you will find is that the exception is the rule for these issues that you would think like that would go relatively quickly. You will have, not only will you have long public testimony, but if they get the opportunity to talk twice and basically say the same thing but maybe using a few different words but also taking their full time twice, they will.
Well, you could try it and see how it works.
I bent the rules the other day, and when we were having after public discussion,
yeah,
you went there to stop me.
Yeah, kind of a hard apple that one.
And so I let a couple of people who thought they had something different to add to the quandary that we were going through in negotiating this back and forth. And said, "Now, I normally don't do this, but if you have something really different that we haven't heard yet, please share it with us." The first guy gets up there and he told us the same thing he told about before. And pretty soon the other lady jumping down and stopping down and saying, "Well, okay, you really got something different."
That's right.
Come on up. She got up there and told us the same thing again. Same on me.
Let me just compare how our planning commissions are running. The planning commission, they're doing a fabulous job in being very inclusive. It's somewhat less formal. But they do a great job. They don't even use a timer. And I'm not saying that we would do that, but what I'm saying is they're a good example for us to be able to invite the public in, make sure everybody gets heard, and I've been inspired each time I've been to a planning commission meeting to see how well they're run. So we could try it, and you don't have to say we're going to do this for the next year.
Is Jack Gabe still there?
So when you're the chair, then I would suggest that you can try it. While I am the chair, I would ask that we continue. Structure has a purpose, and you will find this, that structure has a purpose. And the purpose is is that it gives people their opportunity to speak and an idea of how much time they have to be able to formulate the thoughts and then share them with us. And the structure then of getting the information and then deliberating and acting, there's a purpose to that. And it is a more formal process, but that is what the public hearings are for, is to have a formal conversation with public input, not public conversation, and then deliberation, and then action, and once we start devolving into that, people will just say the same thing twice. People will take advantage of that. It is human nature to take every ounce of every minute that can be given to them to do what they want with it, if that is offered. Mm-hmm. Also, if we devolve, like in the public comment period, to saying, I agree with you. whoever it is, someone comes up and they say something. Oh, I absolutely agree with you. I really appreciate you coming up and sharing that. If I say that, what if you don't agree with them? I just justified them. I gave them credibility. And then what if the next person comes up and I don't agree with them? And I say, well, I don't agree with you. I think that, you know, you're just wrong on this. Well, I'm diminishing them. I'm diminishing their input. And I'm bringing someone up on a pedestal and I'm raising them up in their input. So one person's input is more valuable than another's. And we shouldn't be sending that message either. I mean, our job is to be taking input in and to thank them all, whether they are saying, I hate you or I love you or somewhere in between, and holding them all up and saying, well, we really appreciate you coming in and sharing that with us. And then let it go instead of just, and so there's a reason for that structure. So I would ask that, trust it a little bit.
Well, you said it three or four key words when I am chairman. So I'm very patient. I'll be happy to wait.
A couple years. That's on the record. You just said that. I am very patient. I'm going to put it up on the whiteboard.
So at some point, well, I mean, I can wait. I was like,
good.
When a
you can ask him.
You'll change your mind another year.
Well, maybe. But when my turn comes, remember to allow me the freedom to be able to. Basically embrace the same principles and the same methods that the open government organizations, the transparency organizations.
And we're all about that open government and transparency. We have input that we get before hearings, in work sessions. We get input throughout the process at the planning commission, from the planning commission, from our advisory councils. We get tons of input, and that's why I say you got to just trust it a little bit, because we get tons of input from lots of folks, and then at some point you got to compile it. You got to actually start, taking it all in and forming action from it. And so it kind of goes like this, and then like this. As far as the information starts in small, it gets really broad, and then it tightens back to solutions.
When I say open government, there is a particular organization that basically publishes the guidelines that are citizen friendly, and one of the things that they recommend, if you want to get an A on their report card that says you are very business friendly or very very citizen friendly, then you will do you run your meetings this way.
Well,
and
really,
they're very
really
good
got that
tips.
Grade.
What's that?
Ed Barnes gave us that grade.
What did he do to you?
He gave us an F.
Aww.
Yeah. He gave us an F for this and an F for that.
Well,
and I said, when he got ready to go, I said, you probably should have started off with, in my opinion.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
But honestly, and the Citizens for Good Governors are a good, it's a good group. I mean, and they're the ones who actually were mad when you were suggesting to move, they were one of the groups that was quoted as being upset about the idea to move public comment to the end of the meeting. So
how teachable I am?
It's an interesting overreach, like overcorrection almost, but that's all right.
Mm-hmm.
But as far as the thing that you'll find out the most is that people just want to be listened to, and you don't have to give them 14 opportunities to say the same thing. They just want to be able to say it once and know that you listened to them. And so if you listen to them 5 times and then you go ahead and still do whatever you want that's directly opposed to what everybody just said, it's not going to make them happier. It's going to make them even madder, because they'll say, wait a minute, everybody came in and 100 people spoke twice and said, you guys are dumb, don't do this. And you guys all stood up there and said, we're doing it. And then they're even madder about it. So it isn't about the quantity of the communication. It's about the quality of the communication. And the communication our side is listening.
I understand.
I know how to do it. We'll start the first sounding off at 8 o'clock.
So,
official hearing starts at 10.
All right.
They'll give you 2 hours.
Yes.
So, I respect your opinions and your way to be able to run it the way you like. That's fine. My turn's coming someday.
That's very
when
true.
When it does.
Well, it depends on if you can get 2 votes to be chair. I mean, with those kinds of rules on the horizon, we'll have to talk about that a little bit.
I'm writing this down.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't want to forget this.
The guidelines that organization provides, they're good. They're very friendly for the citizens, mm-hmm. and I hope to embrace them when my turn comes. I'll be patient to wait till then.
But they have different people going there.
Yeah.
That's for all public.
He's talking about the Citizens for Good Governance, not the Planning Commission. No. He's talking about what's his name? The former legislator, or maybe he's a current legislator. It's his group. forgetting his name. Kirby. What's his? Oh, shucks.
It'll come to
anyway.
As soon as the meeting's done.
Yeah, exactly. Immediately. Yeah, no doubt.
I'm done.
Excellent. All right. Good conversation about that, though. I mean, obviously, it's a work in progress. So we definitely need to keep working on that, including people. I had nothing else. Bill.
I have a request for a fee waiver from for a shelter fee from the YWCA. They have their annual picnic, and we waived it last year. It's a $50 waiver.
What's that?
YWCA would like to waive a $50 shelter fee for their annual picnic.
Is that the...
They would like us to waive a $50 fee?
Yeah, which we did last year.
YWCA.
Is it for all of YWCA or for the YWCA that works for CJC?
It's the annual picnic.
It's the big YWCA, the organizational picnic.
Well, actually, it's again, this comes down to the consistency in policy that says we identify a particular area where there really is good reason to change how we do things, and rather than give an exception that kind of violates the normal rule, in this case, what's attractive to, about this is that they're a nonprofit. And so what we could do is we could come up with a policy, change our policy.
It is our policy to bring this to the board for nonprofits when they request it.
Let me finish. Is that if there's a nonprofit that's asking for a, what is it they're asking for?
A fee waiver.
Fee waiver for
their shelter fee.
For a shelter. If they're a
nonprofit.
There's
no other fees left.
Yeah, if there's a, let me finish. Okay. If they're a nonprofit, that basically that our policy would be, you're good. You're serving our community. Why would we zing you with the fee? If a nonprofit, you want to reserve a shelter, there is no fee for you.
So it took a while to get to. That's the policy. That is exactly the policy. You got it. We're already there. So now we gotta. Yeah.
Could say it one more time. Just sum it up for
me. Let me sum it up.
Okay.
All churches are nonprofit organizations.
Mm-hmm.
All church organizations get free shelters for their.
They come and ask us. What happens is the policy has been for any nonprofit that asks us to waive the fee, we bring it to, that comes to the board and we say, all right, is this something that's reasonable? And we say, and most times we say yes.
Okay, let me make sure I understand that. Now summarize what I think I just heard. We already have a policy that if a nonprofit asks us as the board for to waive what would normally be a $50 fee to reserve
a
shelter, that then we would normally do that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Okay. That's a little different than just saying that if you're a nonprofit, you don't have a fee.
You have to ask.
Well, yeah, because it's kind of like the refund of the parking fees. Like, you know, if they don't ask us for their money back, then, you know, then we don't give them their money back. That was the policy that was adopted.
It was, but you know.
Yeah, that's the policy we adopted. I know what happened. But but ultimately, that is the policy that we tried to adopt. And it worked partially. But that's the deal, is that, any nonprofit, because if they're that tight that they're like, okay, we just don't have money, can you guys help us out?
You guys are using up Bill's time.
Yeah,
my time is your time.
So are we good to do that?
We're with you,
Bill. We're good for this particular case.
Yes.
Let me ask you, what does our... I assume there's a website that describes the fees for reserving... Does the website say there that if you're a nonprofit and you want to have that fee waived, you can ask?
No, sir, because the policies, the fees were put in place for revenue for the parks when we needed them
some years ago.
And this is only done... There's only been twice that we do this every year. There's only two organizations that ask for it. So it's not a big deal.
Milky fucking didn't know about it.
You're not a nonprofit.
Or were you?
Not on purpose, but yeah.
In other words, there's only two organizations that know that have the inside scoop that if they were to ask, kind of inside information, they could.
It's widely known.
I think it should be on our website.
All right, so we'll put the information more widely and so that if people do have a nonprofit and they want to ask, they can.
I'm good with that.
I just learned that we allow people to work off their property taxes.
Oh, that's interesting. I had no idea.
You didn't know either.
Nah.
Actually,
I should have been down at the elected.
Is that where you were? Were you down there working off your property taxes, or man?
I have to get on the list.
I do have one more.
All right,
point.
Then we got to get back to Bill because I got Mr. Benton coming at 4 for me.
Yeah, it's this. Okay, staff in our parks that have been traditionally defined as fee collectors. I met with Mike Evans, second in command at the sheriff's office, and also received a number of emails. And it seems that the root of that problem is that that staff has not been instructed at all. They have received no training, no instructions, and they're not doing what we ask them to do. And the solution, Mike said he's going to train the staff out there. What I'm suggesting here is that we change and we actually define a new term, park ambassadors. And the definition of a park ambassador is that when we hire a staff, we would give them training. We would say, your job is to engage with the public, to be helpful, to be eyes and ears, and here's how you do CPR, here's how you be, it's basically you give them training.
Life-saving training?
It's going to be, you're going to be paying more if you're getting all that.
Possibly a little.
Still labor.
But and a good example, there are a number of good examples of how that kind of program works. For instance, in the Sun River, they got bike patrols, and those individuals, they can't arrest, but they're trained so that they'd be helpful. The last email I got was from from Pauline, who commonly goes to our meetings. They made it their project to go to Lewisville Park over and over and over and over. And each time, they were not able to find any park staff out there engaging in the public.
It's a huge park, right?
Well,
you've been there. I grew up there. I mean, it's lots of great places.
Well,
you would.
The assumption is that they would if they could. Well, they're not. And also with Mike Evans, he said, well, the problem is that you got these young girls that have no training. They're out there and they're not prepared to be helpful to the public. So we would instead change the job description. They're not just park staff. They're park ambassadors. And you would basically say, here's your role, and here's how you be helpful, and it ends up being everybody wins. You end up actually out there in the park so that it's very different than the way it is now.
So you're looking to bring us a proposal on what we might do to adopt a new job description?
Actually,
because we don't have a job description, so we can't adopt anything right now.
Actually, we can come up with at least a starting point, and that is this.
Why don't you come up with the starting point? We got to get going, man.
And no, it's really simple. I can do it in a minute.
You just did it, but do it simpler. Go for it.
Okay. Their job is to be out where the people are. Their job is to make sure that they have a cell phone. If they feel like there's something they need to call 911, the sheriff's office would rather they call 911 if they're doing something they shouldn't be doing and they don't want to confront them, then they can call for help. They'd be helpful, and they... if they see that something needs service, trash can needs to be emptied or something, they actually go out there and take care of the trash can and be helpful. So it's kind of common sense, but they haven't been instructed even to do that. So we would call them park ambassadors.
Why don't we just give that message to Pete Capel and he could tell?
Well, it's not Pete Capel's people. This is through the city of Vancouver.
Yeah, it is. No, it's not. It's Pete's people.
It's Pete's people. So, and one of the things I'm disappointed in, I thought that they were going to have handheld radios to have communication besides themselves. But lucky for you, I just happen to have some for sale. but I'm surely we have some handheld two-way radios that these girls could be talking to one another in case they need something.
And the issue isn't just what they're doing, it's the quantity of activity, of nefarious activity that's occurring, and there are different beliefs, and in talking with parks hosts and or ambassadors, whatever we want to call them, and law enforcement personnel, the quantity of ne'er-do-wells is also an issue. And so the question becomes, if you're expanding their job definition, then do we have adequate staff to be able to do that in our parks? Because they are big parks.
There are three people that are assigned to Lewisville Park.
It's a huge park. And so, I'm not answering the question. You can't answer it either. The people who can answer it are the people like Pete and our law enforcement. Like, we need to get from them. I like the idea of the job description. Can we float it with them and say, hey, is this something that with existing staffing you can do?
Yeah, the problem is not lack of staff. The problem is the job description that we've given.
It depends on who you ask.
And also, I've been understand this is they say their boss is Brian Potter through the city of Vancouver, and so he's the one directing them. Is that right?
He does the hiring.
Yeah. So basically, they report into him. So somehow we got this disconnect trying to work through the city of Vancouver.
No, I think Pete should be our person to talk to.
He is, but. But it sounds like there is a chain of command issue associated with
that. When you do that, you mentioned bike patrol. I think that would be cool if they were able to, because are big parks, consider maybe as an option.
Okay. Let me go through that. Absolutely, sir, and that's what I'll do. I think it's a good idea to have Pete report on this. We had the fees. We put the fees in there for a specific purpose. We didn't have this kind of problem, whatever level of problems one might perceive there is. Well, there are some who say there are, and then we did.
I've been talking to my
these people, but the point is, these people were taking money. They were not to be park ambassadors or park attendants. That wasn't what they were supposed to do. Now we're changing the game. Then we'll change the game, and we'll make different job descriptions. We have a reserve deputy cadre that does a lot of stuff. We could have them assigned to do the parks, for example. Maybe the sheriff can contribute a little bit on this instead of saying just call 911. That's a little bit disingenuous of Evans to do that.
Sure.
So I'll talk with Pete, and we'll come back with what you want in terms of a park ambassador, attendant, whatever you want
park
to call
ambassador.
Them, program, and tell you how much it costs.
Let me back up a little bit here. These are seasonal employees. Before they were hired for the season, we removed the fees. That was back in like April 4 that we removed the fees. And back then, we had already decided at that point that the job description of them would change from being fee collectors to being ambassadors out there engaging.
We refer to them as roamers.
Somehow, working through the interlocal agreement with the city of Vancouver, they never got the word. And so this disconnect is happening. They're still acting like fee collectors out there. And so that should have happened. Somehow that communication never happened to the people on the line.
Okay.
And we want to make sure we get that word to them ASAP.
So they change
their description.
I've heard different things as far as what the issues are associated with it and what people are doing out there as far as the park hosts or whatever you want to call them. So
ambassadors.
Right now, whatever, they're not ambassadors. And ambassadors kind of interesting. We'll deal with that. But as far as what they're doing right now, we need to get an update on what are they doing right now, because I've heard something different than Commissioner Mador has heard as far as what they say they're doing, because I've actually talked to a couple of the park hosts about it.
Talked to Mike Evans.
I did talk to him, as a matter of fact.
He's the one that told me that basically they're hiring these young girls that have no clue what they're
doing. That is Mike Evans' perspective, yes. And the park host who I talked with said, we're out there picking up trash because there's more now, and we've got needles, and I've got more people than I can handle. And so we've heard different things. So let's get it together and actually get a report on what is actually occurring, get a baseline, and then we have a new job description we would like to start moving toward for those ambassadors, and then we need a host. See, now he wants different. So we'll get an idea of what that means and what that looks like.
Let me modify that a little bit, because gathering information.
Always gonna modify everything I say. You really do. It drives me nuts.
I like to turn it into action items.
No, we just did action. I just turned it into an action, man.
No, we got information.
No, I just said that was an action. Is to have them come back and actually do a report and then come back with an idea of how we move forward.
That action doesn't change the behavior in the park.
Oh, it does. They're going to go back and find out what they're doing.
Yeah, we're not going to make a decision without full information. Sorry.
We would direct them to make sure that you engage.
Vancouver will.
You be helpful. You are ambassadors. Behave like the ambassadors. Be helpful.
Got it.
Engage with people.
5 minutes.
And if you want to know what they were doing before they got that instruction, then that's informational too.
They're saying they're already doing that. So, I mean, so at least two of them are saying they're already doing that. So that's why we got to actually get together on what's actually happening, because you have a different baseline of information, thus you're making a decision based on your piece of the information. I'm choosing not to make a decision based on partial information. I'm choosing to get more information and then make it on full information. That's what my choice is.
And my choice is to get her done.
Get what done? Why? For what? What are you going to fix?
Don't do that. Okay.
That's, yeah. I'm sorry, I just I'm trying to figure out what actual things I'm trying to get.
You're still up.
I just want to let you know that you do have all the Colombian information that Commissioner Mielke asked for on your computer, and the fireworks data that Commissioner Stewart asked for, all the fire marshal and the sheriff's calls for the 7 days of 4th of July are on your computer.
Which is great, by the way. Thank you for getting that.
Lifeguards, I want to correct one thing. They were at orientation Monday. Really nice group, bunch of 18 really nice, young, beautiful kids. Very diverse, boys and girls.
That's
be there.
Great.
They start on the 31st, which is a week from today.
Yep, we talked about that.
And you are welcome to come out to them. So let me know if you want to go out and visit sometimes.
Yeah, invite.
Give me the date. I'll have Anna give you a date to go out.
Is there a kickoff or something?
That's their first day. It's 31st.
Okay. Can 31st and show up at Klein Line at what time?
I'll find out.
We'll get all the information.
Yeah, go ahead and forward that to us.
Anything else, Bill?
Put it on my calendar.
I can wait. One more thing. Tonight, just to remind you, we have the forum at 7 to 9. That's where Kelly is. We're still preparing. I think we have a pretty good program. It'll be the main thrust will be, so you want to be a freeholder, here's how to do it. So Kathy Garber is going to have the main part of the program. Kelly's going to do a little bit of overview. Daryl Walker will be there for a little legal. I'm going to be the MC with my Star Spangled suit on, and that will be it. One final thing. I talked to Commissioner Mielke about it. I talked to Commissioner Mador about it. Commissioner Mielke said, why don't we pay for it ourselves? Commissioner Mador said, bring it to board time. The people who are doing the picnic and the bring your kids to work day are tired. And they were doing all these fundraisers to bring this money, and they're getting tired of doing it. I went to all the department heads. The department said, hey, we're more than willing to help organize this stuff, but do we have to have all these fundraisers? I had a suggestion. That was, I think, a pretty good idea to have a payroll deduction availability to employees who wanted to put like $1 a month in, or you know, it has to be at least a pay period. But we would gain money that would go into the checking account, into the fund that Paul Harris from the auditor's office manages for us for that fund, and it would just be used. The most it would be ever in a year probably is $10,000. To do both the picnic and the take your kids to work day. We pay for that already. It's $800.
And that was going to Alderbrook.
That was going to Alderbrook, which is the easiest way to do it because it's all we buy a ticket
for us instead of relying upon staff.
Right.
And then they do the cleanup.
Right.
And
everything.
Which is great.
So Commissioner Mielke said, well, why don't we just pay for it? We had an original appropriation 14 years ago when I did the first one, and the board said after that the employees pay. And that's what we've been doing ever since. Commissioner Mielke said, hey, for $10,000, what the heck?
How much did we pay for parking?
Parking?
We paid for parking when we went to Louisville. Remember we paid for the employees to park?
Oh, I don't remember.
$3 each.
Yeah, it was $3 each. No, it was. It was $3 each, and it was a few hundred at least. It was like $1,000 or something like that we paid for.
I guess my request is, may I engage the employees to implement this payroll deduction for them.
We had two different ideas. How do you feel?
Yeah.
This allows the employees to participate in their program in a way we make it convenient for them. I think everybody wins. It's certainly accommodating them.
Are you guys cool with
where I was coming from with it when we talk about employee recognition and things of that nature, we would get more benefit from employee attitude and recognition and maybe participation by putting this on. And I think, you always look for the bang for your buck to recognize employee input and the hard work that they do, but that this would probably be more beneficial than giving awards out even. I mean, that's how I feel.
What about a match? Instead of us just paying for it, why
actually,
don't we, you know, what about doing
that? That's a really good idea.
One or both, or make up the difference.
Because then employees are contributing, but we're matching whatever gets put in.
So put the up, make the payroll deduction available, and with the understanding if we fall short,
And no, anyone here, Commissioner?
No, I would think a match. That way they know that they're being appreciated and they're contributing.
We can make some money.
Oh, at what?
I don't know. Something real. I mean, you want to have $100,000.
$100,000.
You know, we do have extra reserve money.
Yeah, you do need a cap. And you meant throughout the dollars, $10,000.
Yeah, that's what the whole bunch of people going to Alderbrook, and that's
okay.
Yeah,
so put a $10,000 cap on it.
Like five,
right?
And five, and yeah,
five and
probably
five.
Good.
Okay,
cool.
Thank you. That's all I have.
Thanks, Bill. Good idea. Axel.
Also, a request for senior policy analyst payroll deduction account to pay back student loans.
So, yeah. As long as I can get in on that.
$5 cap.
That doesn't say that.
Yeah. This is the BPA letter that's been in the waiting. Anyways, two major issues. It's a stern, legal-ish letter that was grammatically corrected by Holly and legally read by Lair. It deals with the two main issues in our 21 pages of comments, basically reiterating to the now acting administrator of BPA the lack of PERL alternatives in the scoping and the lack of a study for undergrounding wires in populated areas. So.
Did you make either you. Cheryl or Erna mad at you?
Both of them, which is
excellent.
Good, but
that's
I took
good.
Out... No, they weren't. They weren't mad. They just wanted me to take a couple of things out, so
did
I...
You?
Yes, revised okay, cool. It. Put your three revisions in and their revisions. I was hoping to get more jurisdictions to sign on, but with summer, it's like very difficult to coordinate. I mean, they all were supportive and, hey, we like it. We're just having trouble getting a signature from all the council and everything else. So
fair enough.
Some said they were going to.
So we haven't heard from them in a long time. And I was wondering about that.
Like,
what are they doing?
They're reorganizing.
Yeah.
According
quiet,
to Oregonians.
Yeah, well, because Mark Korsness, was that his last name?
Mark Korsness is still the project manager,
he's
as far as I understand.
The guy left, the administrator.
Mr. Drummond, who I never met. And he took over for Stephen Wright. And so now they're doing some...
And this letter pushes for underground where it can be, right?
Yeah, and basically, they didn't in the draft, they summarily dismissed it and just said, it's not cost-effective or environmentally friendly to look underground. So they just said they weren't even going to study it. So this says, no, you need to study it.
And are we banding together with the other CAMAS and the other entities within the county that says, this is one voice and we're all asking for
this? Well, I wanted CAMAS, especially CAMAS, to sign it. I didn't pull that off. I did communicate with their mayor, and I communicated with the community development director. Our comments are in line with their comments and their position on the undergrounding.
2 minutes
they're
over.
Happy that we're sending it, but they didn't sign the letter.
Thanks,
well,
Sharon.
Well, wouldn't it be much better if each of the city council members and each of the mayors throughout Clark County, in addition to our representatives of the state, that we would all sign on to a letter that say, hey, BPA, we stand with one voice.
And they could do their own.
I'll CC them on their letter.
There's power in a coalition.
And I tried really hard, Commissioner. I mean, I wrote this.
They're not willing?
Well, they're just, I don't want to say they're not willing. They're just, I just think they're busy because, you know, there's some efficiency to this meeting and me getting three signatures, but it's something very different for me to send a letter to the city of CAMAS or another city and to have all those council members review it, take the time to make changes if they want, and then to vote on it and sign it. It's just kind of an inefficient process. So, because I wrote this.
All right.
Yeah, I wrote this.
So we'll come,
May,
but it's something to come
July.
Back to. So after summer, you know, as you think that we can get them back together, there is power in us, you know, having
absolutely.
Things that are coordinated, whether it be a single letter with signatures or otherwise, and we can always come back and do that. It would be good to keep in, you know, like front of mind.
I touched base with them more than once. Callett said they're going to write their own letter. They liked ours. Castle Rock kind
of. People like doing their own thing.
Well, I'll work with you because if there's something in there you feel like, or some things in there that you feel like they might have some reservations, then we can take your letter, pull out what those things that you feel like everybody ought to sign on at this, and then we can work to build that, circulate that around so everybody can sign on, and that one voice will speak so much better to
I
the
agree.
BPA that says we got our Jane Herrera, we
all
got
right.
our
state. We agree with you.
No.
Speaking of one voice, is your voice done? One voice, you.
Our subjects have been covered.
Excellent, good work. All right, with that, we got people reading books down there. All right. What are you reading?
three laws of performance.
Very cool.
Death by kneading.
Three laws.
How are we doing?
I know, seriously. It's early in the book. Let us know how we're doing. All right, perfect. We're adjourned. Thanks, everybody. All right. Okay. Hopefully Don's over here. Bye.